B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
All right, welcome to your June 23rd. John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bradford White Water Heaters brings you the 6 o'clock hour. Bradford White is here for the pro. And I believe people are still walking around a bit in zombie mode after that 76ers collapse. I think there's still like a malaise all over the city. I've got to tell you, yesterday, even the energy in the Ardmore Wawa was a little down yesterday.
Yeah, you can feel it. Huh?
I can feel it.
Yeah.
I can feel it in the place. You know what's funny is people are, you know, when things are going well in a sports town, everything, and everybody's like wearing the gear and walking around, and you can start a conversation with someone you don't know.
Yeah.
Everybody's like not interested in talking to
them. Nah.
Could be me. Could be.
No, you're usually interested in talking.
No. Could be me, though, that they're not interested in talking to me.
Oh,
everyone's just looking right through me.
That's not the case.
Like they're looking right through me. But as we begin this hour, Daryl Morey to me yesterday showed the rest of the Sixers organization how it's supposed to be done. So I'm going to praise him, and then I'm also going to critique him. When he was asked why his team lost, I thought he gave the perfect answer. You start with a look in the mirror. You start with personal responsibility. Then you go on to critique what could be assumed as a critique on anyone else, especially those in your employ. Daryl Morey answered, and we're going to let you hear Daryl Morey coming up, but more in summary. You want to go into the playoffs as the favorites to win the title, and we weren't. Ultimately, you win or lose mostly with your players. It's my job to get the best players, and frankly, we didn't have quite good enough players. Bang! Serious. Bang! The man answered the question, and the first thing he did when he had an opportunity to point the finger at anyone else, Daryl Morey pointed the finger back at himself. Something that I don't believe anyone else in the organization did amongst the entire collapse. I think everyone had a reason, and everyone had a pointing moment. Nothing has made me feel better since the Sixers exit than hearing Daryl Morey do that. That's a damn good start. And then I heard Daryl Morey getting questioned, and I wondered if Daryl Morey truly understands what the fans of Philadelphia and the fans of the Sixers organization have been feeling for years. Because he had a vibe to him yesterday of, no big deal. We lost. What's going on here? What am I reading in the newspapers? Why is everybody up in arms? And that's what I couldn't understand. The good, the bad, the ugly. And that's where we begin with Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, the coach, Eric Camille. Mike is directing us on Twitch.tv and YouTube. We appreciate him. And Connor has been hustling his backside off all morning, being able to give you opportunities to be able to hear from Daryl Morey. And that's what we're going to do here at the start. Morey was asked in one of the questions, he was asked, he doesn't understand, cut number one there, Pat. He doesn't understand people saying the Sixers are in a bad situation.
We're committed to this group. Look, this was a really good group. A lot of what I'm reading, I frankly don't understand people saying the Sixers are in a bad situation. You know, I don't choose to come here. Doc doesn't choose to come here if this is a bad situation. I mean, really 25 or 26 teams in this league would love to be in our situation.
No. 25 or 26 teams do not want to be in the Sixers situation. Because team 30, team 29, team 28, team 27, Bob, are all playing. The Hawks don't want to be in the Sixers situation. They've arrived years early in their process. The Suns don't want to be in the Sixers situation. The Clippers don't want to be in the Sixers situation. I mean, the Milwaukee Bucks don't want to be. Okay, so then there's 26 teams left. Sixers are one of those 26. I don't believe the Lakers want to be in the Sixers situation.
I think they'd rather, maybe.
The Lakers would rather be the Sixers?
Well, how many years does LeBron have? I'm not going to sit here and be a Sixers apologist at all, because I still feel what we all feel, and that's the what the hell happened to this. It should have been better. But if you can look at the totality of everything, when they came in here, you know, yeah, you have an MVP type center. In Ben Simmons, they had something more than what we think of him now, but, you know, they throw around that generational player at 6'10 that can handle the ball, that can do all those things, and then a really good third guy in Tobias Harris and a lot of good young players. This season did not finish out well at all, and they need to address that immediately if they could. But overall, in the totality of it, there's maybe a handful of teams that are in a better, and I air quote this, position than the Sixers as far as the talent that you have, the young talent that you have coming up, and your ability to maybe move some parts if you're a Daryl Morey.
Where do you feel, Jamie? You feel more what Bob's feeling today or what I'm feeling?
More what Bob's feeling. I think there's probably, like, if he had said 22 teams, I don't
he
think.
He said every other team. Because
yeah,
the other,
yeah, I mean.
He said every other team because the number he gave is every other team in the NBA wishes they were the Sixers, other than the four teams that are playing.
Yeah, there's probably 6 to 8 teams that wouldn't want to trade with him. Probably split the difference. I don't think it's as, it's concerning because of Ben and what he's going through. If it's not for that, if you were where Ben was entering the season, I think there's very few teams that would want to change. I don't know if there's a belief that it can be changed or fixed. And if they are believing that, I have concerns because I don't know if Ben's going to do it here. And he's the key to this. I mean, in the NBA, you only go as far as your max contract players allow you to go.
Okay, you got 3 max contract players, Pat. And one of them extremely marketable in Joel Embiid with major issues with injury every single year. The other 2 max players, I believe Ben Simmons does not play like a max player because he's half a player. And I think that Tobias Harris is not a max player in anyone's eyes, or he would be incredibly marketable. Is that fair?
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything you said.
Okay, so I don't understand what Daryl Morey's looking at that I'm not looking at.
Well, I think you're taking it too literally.
Well, I do that.
Yeah, I think you're taking it way too literally. I think he says that, but I think when you go down the list of teams like you did, yeah, okay, obviously there's teams out, like the Suns don't want to trade with the Sixers right now. The Bucks don't either.
I don't think Utah would trade their roster with the Sixers.
Probably not.
I don't think they're saying, man, we wish we were the Sixers.
But I do believe that most teams would.
Wow.
Utah's similar. It's funny. The 2 number one seeds, Utah gets done. They're not happy with Donovan Mitchell. And now Mitchell was hurt a little bit. But the Gobert-Mitchell situation, it's really worth watching. They can't stand each other. And they divided that locker room. And that's another number one seed. I'll bet you out in Utah, though they're not as you know, into it as we are, but I'll bet you it's the same feeling out in Utah. Like, what the hell? And we're not in a good spot.
You think the Nets want to trade with the Sixers? Please, well, give me a break. The Nets don't want
it. You are taking this so literal. He's basically saying, we're in a good spot. There's a handful of teams that probably are better than us, but I wouldn't trade with 25 teams or something of where we
okay,
are.
Okay, well, that means every other team that's not playing right now,
he thinks he's in the best.
Okay, but I'm pointing to a handful. I mean, we're getting down to a handful of teams that I do not believe want to that make it even more pronounced. And more importantly, this team hasn't progressed, Bob. This team has not progressed. So I keep, like, there's no sense of urgency at all from Daryl Morey yesterday. And maybe I wanted some sense of urgency. I loved his personal responsibility. And I applaud that because I think it's something that's lacking in sports from players, coaches, and executives. So I applaud it. But I also question, there's no sense of urgency. He had this, I don't know what I'm reading in the paper. I don't know why people are so upset.
Yeah, but then
I don't get it.
At the same time, I heard him more or less say he'll consider moving Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I did, but he doesn't. There's no.
So, I mean, that's pretty major. I mean, even not denying that question, look, he's not going to obviously say we want to move Ben Simmons, but I think he recognizes a major flaw in the path of this team. And reading between the lines yesterday, it's all on the table.
It could just be a style thing. It could just be a style points thing with me where I'm looking at him. Yesterday, he just sounded like he was sitting on his couch like, what the hell, everybody? Why are you so upset? Why am I reading the Philadelphia newspaper so upset?
Well,
how can this be? Has he not realized that this city has invested really 7 years?
I mean,
8
yeah.
years into seeing a culmination of something that hasn't even gotten the hell out of the second round?
Minimum 6 no. years.
You said, does he not realize? No, he doesn't.
How does he not realize that he took the job?
Yeah, I don't think he came in here. I don't think anybody could come in here and feel the way we've felt.
No.
Right? You know what I mean? So he comes in here, and yeah, it is a fault. I sat there yesterday also saying, wow, everybody's going to say that Daryl Morey doesn't feel what we feel because he's only been here for a year. But as he said later on in the thing, isn't that his job description? Shouldn't he know, like, the history of
you're coming into
where this is and what's going on and the decline of Ben Simmons? Now, he very well may, and he couldn't portray it in his words exactly, but you better have the feel that this city has, because this city has a pretty good feel about what's wrong with the Sixers.
Let's hear more from Daryl Morey talking about the challenge that Doc faced.
Yeah, I think Doc did a really good job talking to players yesterday, and really in his remarks, he challenged all of us to look at each of us in our role and how we can do better. You know, that starts with me, that starts with Elton in the front office. The best front offices are the ones that look back and say, what could we have done better, and learn from that, and each of the players and what they can do better.
Okay, wait a minute. Okay, so let me get to this one. It starts with Elton. It starts with Daryl Morey, and it starts with the players. I believe Daryl Morey should have said, it starts with Doc. It starts, because to me, if you said Elton Brand, Daryl Morey, Doc Rivers, right now, the vote of least confidence from this fan base would go to Doc Rivers, and it wouldn't be close. It would be let's not put up a poll question. That would be the least confidence would be in Doc Rivers.
Yeah, no doubt.
And there is Daryl Morey saying it starts with the players figuring out how they can be better, the general manager, how he can be better, the president of the club, how he can be better. What about the coach being better? What about the coach being better? I know you're trying to give cover to the guy who had just had a really, really crappy 2 weeks. I thought that was a little tone deaf.
So did I. And I think they're tied at the hip. If you ever notice, a lot of what Daryl Morey says is Doc and I. They came together. They obviously talked before they came here and said, hey, you go, I'll come, whatever it may be. I think they're tied at the hip. And I think maybe he might be a little reluctant to say anything bad about Doc Rivers. And I'm not saying that's right at all. I don't know why he wouldn't include him. It's kind of embarrassing.
Okay, so am I being too, and I have it down in my notes here, am I being too literal on that quote?
No,
I tend to get hung up in details of too literal.
No, I don't think so on that one.
But I mean, to me, it sounds like he gave everybody a pass but Doc Rivers.
Everybody has a piece of the blame pie here. Everybody. You can look to Daryl himself. George Hill, in hindsight, wasn't good enough of a move to, you know, shore up the bench. Doc obviously had a hand. Look, you can even make a case for Joel, albeit playing injured. Ben, Tobias, all of them. Everybody has a hand in this. So to not include Doc, I think, was a little tone deaf.
And Daryl Morey then talked about what he learned from Doc.
I feel like I've learned a lot from Doc. I've learned a lot from all the coaches I've worked with, but this past year has been really positive for really everyone to be with a championship caliber coach and what he brings to the table in terms of, you know, how he demands, you know, excellence from everyone.
Okay, I absolutely thought that comment was tone deaf. I think that comment was completely tone deaf. You do not start talking about the worst thing. And I, Bob, any press conference I've ever been to, and I've been to one hundredth as many as you've been to, when I hear someone start rattling off someone's resume, they're in cover your ass mode.
To me, this is what's really wrong with this organization. They have a championship feel in their head about themselves. And I'm talking from ownership group on down. And it's been this way for a long time, and I've questioned it for a long time, even when I was back on the team, being told that how good we are and all that stuff, and me being, you haven't done anything yet.
Yes.
You still haven't done anything. And to talk about a championship caliber coach, keep championship out of your mouth. You're not a championship. And now we're hearing all the stories, and I've talked about this a lot, about how entitled Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons have been since they've gotten here. And it's led to questions about their work ethic. And now it's really coming out about Ben Simmons. This organization needs to take a step back and say, we're not crap yet. We're not. We haven't done a damn thing. You haven't done anything. Talk about take a look in the mirror. Take a look in the mirror and you'll see a championship banner from 1983. Stop with the championship talk and organizational type talent and all that crap. And get out there and start winning some damn basketball games and find players that'll take games by the neck and know how to win championships before you even mention that word.
It sounds like, Bob, you and I have ended up at the same place, but we took a different path. Yeah. We took a and different things annoyed us.
I agree with all of that. They have to... I don't know what's going on with their evaluation of players and maybe their minds. I mean, to go Simmons and Fultz back-to-back years almost derailed this entire thing, and now it's bearing its head 5 years when you're supposed to be taking that next step. You know, we said 2 months ago, if they don't make the Eastern Conference Finals as the one seed this year,
it's a complete disaster.
It's a massive failure.
And it is.
And it's a massive failure. So, yeah, you would hope everybody in that building is humbled by this and wants to get better. It's a massive offseason in the direction of this franchise for many reasons, trade or no trade, and they better get it right.
I don't want to do the typical Philly sports radio screaming hyena thing, but it is frustrating to me because it seems to me in a way that Daryl Morey doesn't understand where he's working.
And
it's one of the things is I'm blessed enough that I didn't live through daily being here every day for the entire process and all that kind of stuff like you guys did.
Yeah.
But I followed it all. I lived it all as a fan. I understood the fan base. I don't, maybe it's COVID. Maybe it's not interacting with, being able to interact with Philadelphians and their fans the way that
It's above the Sixers too. Like there's a vibe to us as sports fans and it's rooted in usually disappointment. So
it's got to understand it.
It's bigger than just the Sixers. I mean, this goes back to the Phillies and the Eagles and the Flyers. It's in our blood. And, you know, the national narrative is going to become, oh, we rushed another star out of town. Okay.
Not in this one if it happened.
Sure, if that's what you want to say, go for it. We also have a guy that refused to dunk a basketball at a pivotal game in a game seven. So I don't know what you want us to do.
Pat, am I asking you to be the voice of reason on this show this morning? Are you the alarm?
That's where we've come to, huh?
But you seem much more like you're still in the malaise.
I am.
Of the loss.
I am.
What part are you of depression today?
I'm still at depression.
Where? Oh, okay. What about Daryl Morey yesterday, though? Did he make you feel better?
No.
Or not?
Pissed me off.
So you said it's the same side of thing.
Yeah, it annoyed me. And part of it is, it's like going into... the Fast and the Furious the ninth movie. Like, what do you expect? I expected everything I heard from him, but it still pissed me off. And that's probably a me problem. But when you tell me that you liked what you saw from George Hill, you're either lying or you're blind, or maybe both. But I don't need to hear that.
I didn't like what I saw at George Hill.
A lot of the stuff that I heard from Daryl Morey, I just went, this is either like you're lying or you think I'm an idiot, or I didn't expect honesty, but still, it pissed me off.
It did. Well, I mean, it's that I feel a little better that I'm not overreacting.
No.
I feel a little better because Bob got as animated as he's been in the entire 6 months I've known Bob.
It just gets so tiring to watch some people in this organization, I don't want to say accept where they're because they do want to win championships, but to think that they're someplace more than they are.
I don't understand it.
Yeah.
He seemed so chill yesterday. And maybe that's just Daryl Morey's personality, and I can't relate to it because I'm not that chill individual like he is. But he was so chill, to me, it almost was condescending. I can't even understand what I'm reading in the papers. So what I did is, I went back, I read everything that was written in the Philly newspapers since the Sixers got beat in Game 7. I don't understand what Daryl Morey's questioning. I do not understand what he's...
What percentage of those were Ben Simmons related?
A lot of it was Ben Simmons. There was a lot of the
70.
The opinion piece was Ben Simmons related. I thought the stuff that was more beat covering, reporting on the team,
mm-hmm.
was spot on why the team lost, how they lost, the malaise of just seeming that they went into a game seven with no swagger. They went in with no like aggressiveness as far as appearing to be the team that's going to run the other one out of the gym. In fact, the Hawks came with that.
Yeah.
And I thought the guys who covered this team in print, and I looked I read everything, and I don't understand what Daryl Morey's questioning.
I don't know. I wish someone would ask him to get into specifics, and I'm sure he wouldn't have, but you don't know unless you ask. What is so crazy about people's opinion on this team?
I want to... That is the question I can't believe didn't get, and it didn't get asked.
Yeah, it goes back to what I think, that everybody just had the assumption, yeah, you've only been here a year, you know, okay. And I kind of, what I was saying to you earlier was, when you do come into this team after 1 year, or the first time you see them, there is impressiveness. There is stuff that you can say, wow, this could be a foundation. And I'm talking like he lays eyes on them for the first time, Doc Rivers. And we talked to Doc, and he says, my God, a 6'11 point guard. Like, this guy does things I've never seen before.
Sure.
So in that way, you think you have a foundation. Now when you look and you see the cracks of it all, that's up to Daryl Morey to fix. His totality of the situation is, overall, this team has a lot of talent that could do something special.
Love to hear from you early on today, too, if you want to share a thought with us. You can at 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. And if it wasn't annoying enough, I get a haircut. Thank you, Anastasia. And then I slip back into go watch the Phillies. Mm-hmm. And I saw Zach Wheeler's ERA ballooned to 2.37. So I will not throw any rocks on the on Zach Wheeler last night. I don't know what was going on, though. It didn't seem like himself. But the Phillies manager, Joe Girardi, and we're going to talk about this coming up after the bottom of the hour. I truly believe there's been some sort of a bait and switch, or there's something going on with Joe Girardi that is absolutely inexplicable to me. Because he does not seem like the guy that I thought was hired by this organization to run this team. I'm confused. I don't want to be ultra negative on it, but it was bad. Like, last night was bad.
He's not who you thought he was?
No, that's what it's looking like.
Yeah.
He's not who he thought he was. Hey, you know, going back to work can mean more cars on our roads, and you see them out there. That means more pollution. So check out Share a Ride for a cleaner, cheaper way to commute in PA. And you can earn rewards, too. Starting July 1st, go to pacarpool.org. Now, I don't know who wants to carpool to work. Egan, do you want to pick up Bob?
Jamie, I'm not picking up Bob, no.
Jamie, do you want to help out?
I find the high occupancy vehicle lanes stupid.
You don't like them?
No.
You don't like them because you're usually by yourself?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'll grab anybody that needs a ride.
Jamie goes right by my neighborhood. I don't know why he never offers.
See? There could be some. Jamie, you guys could commute.
It depends
together.
If I go Lincoln Drive or not, Pat.
Well, I think you guys could be together. So.
If I'm Wawa, I'm your way.
Hey, check out Pennsylvania's number one casino, too. It's the Parks Casino. Absolutely. That Parks Casino sportsbook app allows you to wager. I lost some money last night on the Golden Knights. You got to be 21 if you got a gambling problem. Please call 1-800-GAMBLER. Joe Girardi, is it a bait and switch? Plus rule changes that might have had the Sixers playing right now. We'll get to that, the John Kincaid Show, here on The Fanatic. You know, as a two-time cancer survivor, I know that when it comes to funding cancer research, every single dollar counts. You think a $5 donation doesn't matter? It does. They build upon each other. The official charity of the John Kincaid Show is the American Association for Cancer Research. Now, I know many of you have been touched by cancer directly, or you know someone that you care about that has fought the battle or is fighting it right now, or may have lost the battle. So join me in working to defeat these devastating diseases. Make a donation to the American Association for Cancer Research today at aacr.org/fanatic, because donations from private citizens like you add up. And they lead to big breakthroughs. There are almost 17 million Americans like me that are cancer survivors. And your donation supports the scientists and the doctors who will make the next breakthrough happen. You want to give hope to families that are fighting this battle right now. Make a monthly donation to the AACR Sustaining Hope Club. Donations in any amount, they really are important. Visit aacr.org/fanatic. That's aacr.org/fanatic to donate today, because I am living proof that cancer research saves lives.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic. A little bit of angst to start the Wednesday. Want to remind you, though, you can go to Vegas with us. Make sure you put your deposit down now at phillysportstrips.com to join us in Vegas in October for the ultimate Birds away game trip. Go to phillysportstrips.com. We look forward to seeing you out there. Bob, have you gotten the guts up yet to call your niece?
I think I'm going to do that today.
Yeah, you should. Why it's not going to get any easier.
Why don't we do it on the air?
Yeah.
No. Why don't we call?
Thank yeah, you. It sounds like a good conversation.
Good radio bit.
Yeah. That's
the... It'll be a quick one.
It's going to go, Bob, I think you just put a little extra into the gift.
Yeah.
A little extra in the gift.
Yeah, and... there's multiple things going on here. It's kind of, I mean, does Donna go with the kids, even though it's my side of the family? There's yes. not going to yes. be much family yes. there, but I'm trying to get Donna maybe to come out to Vegas with us.
So, okay. You know. Okay, so there is a little thing there. It's okay.
Awkward.
Going on.
Yeah. All right. Phillies and the Nats last night. Zach Wheeler with a rare off night, and he left the game giving up 3 earned runs.
I guess that's allowed.
Yeah, we're allowed.
His
ERA balloons to 2.37. Now, with every other starter in the fours, Zach, you are welcome to have a night where you are not at your best, much like Joe Girardi. A night where he was not at his best. Now, I will just tell you, my gut instinct right now is I feel like we've gotten a bait and switch on Joe Girardi. And I hate doing a negative story to a negative story, but Joe Girardi, to me, he's not anything like I expected. He doesn't conduct himself in any way like I expected him to be. And I'm starting to wonder, was it just really easy to manage the Yankees? Was it really just...
Easier, I'm sure, yeah. I mean, when you're hitting 7 home runs a game, I guess it's easier to coach a team like that.
Because, I mean, he last night, and I don't care what explanation he gave behind a microphone, I don't care what kind of, him constantly checking on Scherzer, and the third check was completely out of bounds. Completely out of bounds. You are attacking a man's integrity. You're attacking the integrity of Max Scherzer because your team can't freaking hit a baseball.
Yeah, it's really surprising as a lifer in baseball, as a former player, that he did that. Like, if it's a guy that didn't play in the league, I might understand it more. But for a guy that's caught as many games as Joe Girardi caught and knows the pitcher's mindset as good as anybody, I found it really strange. Really strange.
I mean, the umpires check once. Girardi calls for a check, and then Girardi calls for a third check.
Yeah, and it's not like this is some middling, you know, journeyman pitcher.
He might be a Hall of Famer.
Oh, he's a yeah. I think he's got a case. Yeah,
he's got a case.
I mean, this is a great pitcher. You did that too, and that goes into the equation.
And to me, it's Bob. Critique me on any one of a number of things, but do not call my integrity into question. My integrity into question is what I would throw down about.
Yeah,
like that's just.
I thought Girardi's explanation was kind of funny. They says, I've known Scherzer since 2010. I've never seen him go to his hair that much. So I had to check it because I was doing what was best for my ball club. I didn't mean to offend anybody.
Ugh.
That's absolutely what you did. The guy's been checked twice.
Yes,
you're
you
absolutely
did.
Offending
he changed
him.
Hats because of the salt line, apparently. They thought they saw something
and
from
Scherzer.
Sweat.
He was honest afterwards. He's like, look, it was a cool night. I had no sweat going anywhere, so I couldn't even get it off the back of my neck. He said, so the only place I was really sweating
was
my hair, so that's why I kept going. He was honest.
He was honest, and more importantly, too, is that don't call Max Scherzer's integrity into question.
And especially on the first night of this new rule being allowed, like, if you're in August and this rule's been there for a while and you bust it out, sure. The first night, you're going to push the limits of it and make your team look bad. If I was a Phillies player in the field last night, I would have been cringing.
After saying you weren't going to do this.
And he said before the game. Right, Pat?
Yeah, I'll only do it if, you know,
I'd be embarrassed if I was one of his players last night,
he's
honestly.
So desperate. Max Scherzer. It's so, Pat, it's so thirsty.
Oh, it reeks of desperation.
It's just as he appears deer in the headlights, and I don't get it. Like I just don't understand it because this was Joe Girardi. I remember like my first week here, we did a thing, and I was saying, "What an amazing thing it is! rolling into town here with Girardi, who's won a championship, Doc Rivers, who's won a championship, Alain Vigneault, who's considered one of the best in the game.
Right.
Doug Peterson has already won a championship. Yeah. And I'm bragging on it and beating the chest going, man, I'm lucky. This is a great time to be coming home.
Yeah. And now
it's
Jim.
It's a freaking nightmare.
Jim Curtin's the longest tenured coach in town.
Seriously, let's get Jim Curtin on today. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Let's bring Jim Curtin on today. At some point today, find Jim Curtin, because we need to talk to the longest tenured coach who doesn't pull this kind of crap.
Yeah,
like, I don't understand.
The stare down was warranted. It was awesome, I thought, from Scherzer. And I think Girardi going out and kind of challenging him was also weird.
It looked like WWE crap.
Yeah, it was weird. I was texting with my Nationals buddies last night, and they were just kind of like, what the hell are you guys doing?
You know what's funny? If things are going well and Girardi does something like that, the fans are like, yeah, go get him, Joe, you know? And then last night the reaction was like, oh, no, that's pathetic.
No,
and,
I think, yeah. You know, right? I think Pat's response is the best, though, is that it just reeks of desperation. It reeks of I have no other buttons to push.
Yeah, he's grasping at straws at this point. It's sad. There was no game plan. But they checked him twice. Checking him twice, you think he went in the dugout and decided, okay, now's the time to pull it out?
Well, they hadn't checked his hair.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
So they hadn't gone to his hair.
Totally.
So, by the way, though, when the hat came off, I was shocked. Boy, he's gone. The bald route is like gone.
Yeah, yeah.
The ball, and now I know why he keeps the hat on. He never takes the hat off.
It's like he almost took his pants off.
But it's like there's like this patches of just emptiness.
As soon as he took his pants off, I heard Bob say, "Why? Why don't we take our pants off?"
Yeah, you know, why does it?
Well, you guys were calling for it so much. I guess he was looking to please you guys. Yeah.
Hey, by the way, they were giving him grief about that, saying, "Hey, don't get ejected, the umpires." When he started to take his pants off.
I thought it was hysterical.
I thought it was hysterical, too. Yeah.
And by the way.
What else do you want?
Look, he has every right. And a guy who has had his career has every right to be pissed off.
Sure.
That Joe Girardi has called his integrity into question. And guess what? That's what you do. When you stop a game and you're challenging a guy and you're asking for him to be checked, you are calling his integrity into question. And to me, that's bullcrap.
Yeah,
it
definitely
not
is.
Right.
And anytime you get a chance to make baseball longer than it already is, it's an opportunity you have to seize. So appreciate that, Joe.
By the way, I was not listening on the radio. I did hear the television broadcast, and I must give John Kruk his due. That John Kruk really went off.
Oh, well,
against what Joe Girardi did, and I guarantee you there are pencil pushers down at the Phillies today who are upset about it. Because it was clearly that John Kruk was clearly saying this is Bush League.
Yeah.
This should not be done.
I think that's how most players would feel. And his own players included.
I admired John Kruk's integrity. That he had the integrity on the Phillies broadcast to take that stance.
Yeah.
We'll talk to Ricky Pitalko about it tomorrow morning. I admire that because I think a lot of times some of these local broadcasts tend to be sort of homerish.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that. I think that's crappy because I guess it's just growing up on Harry and Richie.
Yeah.
Which never was a homer broadcast.
No.
They would call
it.
They felt secure enough in their jobs that they would be like, we're calling out anything that was bad play, bad decisions. They called it out.
Did you guys go deeper into it? Like, when I saw Girardi do it again, and I'm thinking, my first thoughts are he knows something having been a catcher in this league so long. Like, is he going back to that? Like, I can probably find a pitcher at any time because I caught the game. I know who did what. Because otherwise, if not, you would think he would know the other way.
Yeah, right.
So I really was thinking, like, wow, he's seen cheating so much that he knows something's going on here. When he went to it, I fully expected something to be found.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
and
it doesn't look good.
Maybe hair gel is the only thing.
Well,
that
then he's
could be conceivable.
I'm surprised. Then Joe's going to come looking for me.
Yeah.
Joe's going to come in. Hey, Joe, I used some gel this morning, some Avita. I did put it in, especially with a clean summer cut. I had to put it in so the gray hair doesn't go in like every direction. So if you want to check me, you can come on down and check it. Hey, respect for their customers. That's Respectable Roofing. Respect for personalized service. Respect for your budget. It's Respectable Roofing where respect matters. Jamie was excited yesterday, Bob.
Yeah, he was.
Because the NBA is going to implement some rule changes.
Yeah.
And I had to go back and look at this. rule changes for next season are never announced. So there's something different about this one, James, that the NBA never announces rule changes for a season while the current season is in, and we're not enforcing it now. These are rule changes for next year. They never do this.
It's very interesting. Odd timing.
Why are they doing it now?
I don't know.
Because what they're saying is, it's important of, and we'll talk about the rule itself and how it affects and the players it affects, because I know you want to get into that. But it's the idea that, okay, so we're making rule changes that we think are important enough to implement in the game, but they're not enough important enough to implement now.
I guess they've been watching a lot of Hawks games. I mean,
well, Trae Young is one of the biggest defenders.
Oh, yeah. Him, James Harden, and Chris Paul are the three biggest offenders of it in the league. It's not good for the product. I mean, you know, your people in your former city got all triggered because I said Trae Young plays with no honor. That tweet is, you know, 70-75% jest, but that 25% of reality, I think it's a bad product.
The NBA just backed you up.
Yeah, of course they did.
No, they just backed up your tweet.
Because they have eyeballs. It's like I said to Bob one day, again, half kidding, it's offensive to basketball. It's not basketball. It's not a natural play. Look, you can rip Joel Embiid for flopping under the basket. That's been going on for 100 years. That's never going to stop.
I wish they'd get that crap out too, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's a harder one to enforce because it just is. When you're naturally or unnaturally jumping backwards or sideways and shooting when you wouldn't shoot, like Trae Young did at least six or seven times on three-pointers this series, it's not basketball. And Trae Young had either the tone deafness or the stupidity to tweet yesterday, "I'm honored that they changed the rule." Dude, you shouldn't be honored by that. You were doing a cheap-ass thing that the NBA came down on and said, "We need to change this because it's not good for our product."
And it's not. It makes it almost unwatchable.
And it makes the ref's jobs really tough.
It does. And we talked about that last week a little bit, John. What I said was, it's not so much, in my opinion, in knowing some things, that it's bad refereeing. It's that the players kind of found a way to force the refs to make a call or not. My solution was, you have to reel it all back in. Tell players, "I'm not calling it." The flailing. Somebody said the other day, I don't know, it must have been an older, somebody said that Mendy Rudolph, an old referee, would come up and say, "If I see you fake one damn call today, I'm not calling it." Meaning, like, if you go up for a shot and you think you got hit and you start any kind of antics, I'm not calling it. Quite simple. So don't do all this acting and stuff like that because you're not going to get a call from me. That extreme, no. But I think that's where the NBA and the referees have to reel these players back in a little bit. James Harden the other night, my God, in that game 7, took a jump shot. Giannis was a foot away from him, hands up in the air, and he lands and falls down, and he's at the line for three shots. It's just getting ridiculous. It's not natural basketball anymore.
And more importantly, though, is I have as much offense to – I take as much offense, and it definitely is puts me on an island in this town, at Joel Embiid's constant flopping on the floor. His constant – oh, my God. It's like he's been – and he totally acts it up over and at least four or five times a game.
Sure.
It happens.
I mean, and he falls on the floor way too much.
I'm offended by that. It's not the same as what has been on with Harden and with Trae
Young. They're different
things. It's not the same. It's a different thing. I wish, though, it didn't exist.
Yeah.
I wish Joel didn't feel that he had to do that.
Joel is probably more often
– Shaq did not have to do that.
Yeah.
The dominant centers of the game – have not had to do that for their entire careers.
More often than not, Joel Embiid's probably getting fouled in those situations.
Sure.
Like, I would give him 7 out of 10 times he's actually legit getting. When Trae Young is doing that, he's penalizing perfect defense in most cases. You know, some like that Kevin Herter three-pointer.
Oh, my gosh.
That Thibault got the foul on. Is it a foul by definition of the law? Yeah, probably. Kevin Herter also has been instructed clearly to dive to the floor and act like he got snuck from the rafters because of it.
And not anymore, though.
Yeah, and I'm glad the NBA did something about it, and I'm glad I don't feel like a complete moron
for screaming about it. Your tweet was your tweet was confirmed yesterday by the NBA.
Yeah.
And you know, if Joel Embiid would stop doing all the antics and learn to, like, if he was told, look, if you're going to go in there and throw yourself around and look for the call that way, it's not going to be called. If he would learn to play through fouls instead of giving the ball up and throwing, he'd be a much better player.
Yeah. Or two, and Shaq and Charles talked about it one of the games. The throwing the ball straight up in the air.
Can't stand that.
What the hell is that?
Yeah.
Look, and what big man does that? Like, does it? I've never seen that. Just throwing it straight up in the air when you're, like, trying to draw a foul and you just launch the ball straight up in the air.
I mean,
I've never seen that before.
What happened to the days where in practice you would have guys go to the basket? We did this all the time. And you would hit them as they were going up to try to teach them, all right, play through. So you get hit, you get yourself back connected, and you make sure you get a shot off.
Literally what I did to my sister in the driveway to teach her basketball. I was like, I'm going to foul you, and you're going to continue on to the rim. And that's how she learned basketball.
I got to tell you, the Embiid stuff bothers me as much as the, and we talked about it last week.
It does.
As much as the Trae Young stuff.
Hey, listen for the Fanatic Fudgy Wudgy, man. 8 o'clock hour this morning. When you hear him, be the 10th caller to the contest line, 215-263-0975. You're going to win a $50 gift card, good for a one-day juice cleanse from squeeze.com. Coach does not need one of those today, by the way. And you'll be in the running to win a week at the Fanatic Beach House. The Fanatic Beach House is presented by squeeze.com, the best juice cleanse on the market. Order online and get same-day delivery at squeeze.com. We suggest you use squeeze.com and not 5-day chili in the refrigerator.
You're
which
wrong.
By the, which
it's
by
fine.
By the way,
it's
by the way,
all right to
I
me.
Just said ask.com.
What the hell is ask.com?
How long do you...
Ask?
Not ask.
Oh. Is this like Ask Jeeves?
Just because it was a coach question, you think I went to ask.com? Coach, by the way, chili in a refrigerator. Just ask.com. What is the length of time that you would eat refrigerated chili in a refrigerator? 72 hours.
No.
72?
That's just like a guidance.
That's more. That's 2 days after 72 hours.
I think Coach has a weak stomach.
Expiration date. Is that like more like a guidance?
Go. Yeah, it's a suggestion.
Oh, okay.
Hey, in Cooney's corner, I think Bob wishes the Sixers could find themselves a couple of those, you know, Trae Young type shooters.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's corner.
So welcome to another Sixers offseason of...
Find
they
the
have to go find some more shooters.
Mikal Bridges.
I mean, it's look. If you go to the bare essence of basketball, the bare starting up of basketball.
Go
out to any court, any gym, any schoolyard, whatever, and you'll see a bunch of kids launching from behind a 3-point line. That's all they do anymore. There's not anybody practicing post moves. It's everybody shooting from outside. And that's fine. That's, you know, what the game is, and it's become the, you know, the Steph Curry and all that stuff type of game, and big men have to step out and all that anymore. Why can't the Sixers just find a bunch of shooters? So you're going to lose Danny Green, I think, in this offseason. Although Doc said he wants him back, Danny Green said, well, I got to take a look around what I want to do. So you're probably not going to have him. Seth Curry is ideal to come off the bench for you. Your young players that you have that you're building with a Tyrese Maxey, a Matisse Thybulle, a Shake Milton, none of them is consistent shooting from the outside.
No.
Like, think about that. You have a nice core of guard, young guards. But none of them is consistent shooters or straight knockdown shooters.
No.
It once again is an offseason of let's go find some shooters if you're the 76ers. There should be shooters everywhere, and I see every other team getting guys that can fill it up. Why can't this organization just find young shooters to fill in that gap?
Like I said, Mikal Bridges joking around, but he hit a dagger three last night that changed the course of the game. They drafted him. I don't know what it is with this team. Sadiq Bey is another guy. You know, nothing against Maxey, but like these shooters are out there. You just kind of have to open your eyes. And I guess that's going to be their draft objective. But again, you can't count on a rookie come playoffs. So you got to find some veterans. You can't consistently count on
consistently.
Can get some Maxey splurts here and there, but like they need some veteran shooting. I don't, you know, they better ace it.
Patty,
if I have to deal with one more season of watching Furkan Korkmaz give you the one game every 3 weeks,
I'm out on Furkan.
Where it gets the fan base to go, oh yeah, we have a stop.
By
give me
the way,
a damn
they,
shooter.
They like Furkan.
Of course they do.
Yeah, they like him.
Who doesn't? Furky from Turkey.
He'll probably go get some money on
that. He's got a fun name to say.
Somebody's going to give him money.
Got yellow shoes.
Yeah.
Bob warning you, here's the summer ahead of you.
Oh, you're great. Looking for shooters. Yeah, looking for shooters. There we go. Is this our hell?
More looking for shooters.
I see so many teams that get great shooters late in the second round, even.
Yeah.
I just can't understand why this organization can't get some.
Look at Duncan Robinson and Terrence Mann and like just anywhere in the NBA. Yeah. You guys are popping up.
There is a team that has benefited from the Sixers' collapse. Who are they? We'll get to it next. It's the John Kincaid Show. You're here on 97.5, The Fanatic. My friends at Parks Casino, boy, they have such a beautiful sports book. Plus, they have a beautiful sports book app that you can carry around in the palm of your hand. Daily baseball action, golf now in full swing. If you're still interested in the pro hoops and the hockey, you've got it on the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. And if you're a new customer, you can sign up right now and you're going to get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Now in baseball, if you don't just want to bet wins and losses, your team winning and losing, you can do over-under totals on runs scored. You can do individual player performances, hits per game, and more. It's like daily fantasy, again, in the palm of your hand. If you visited the Parks Casino, it is absolutely gorgeous. But maybe you don't want to make the drive up tonight. So it's in the palm of your hand, that Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Sign up now. Go to parkscasino.com/PA and use the promo code FANATIC. That risk-free bet up to $500. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. If you got a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The John Kincaid Show.
They put it on the air?
Of course they put it on the air. It was a big success.
On 97.5, The Fanatic. Philadelphia.
Calling all auto techs, detailers, painters, body men, lot attendants, or other auto specialists. Carvana, the company that invented the new way to buy a car, is hiring for our Delanco Auto Inspection Center. Grow on the go, working with some of the most advanced tools in the industry at one of the fastest growing companies in America. We have open roles for all levels of experience, from hourly production associates with no past experience to master mechanics and certified painters. And our competitive pay, on-the-job training, and company-paid certifications offer all employees a pathway to success. New hires get a great job on day one with the opportunity for a Carvana career. Other benefits include health insurance with 100% of the premium paid by Carvana and other benefits. Grow your career with stability, working with the team that's disrupting the automotive industry. Now hiring for roles at all levels of experience. Go to CarvanaAutoJobs.com to sign up. Carvana is an equal opportunity employer.
Hey, it's Cuz. Don't be that guy with the t-shirt on in the pool. Lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days with NJ Diet. Their program starts with bioenergetically personalized supplements based on your hair, saliva, and blood work. Then NJ Diet uses DNA testing to create your ideal diet plan and workout regimen. NJ Diet's all natural, no shots, no hormones, and no surgery. Located in Princeton, Cherry Hill, now the KOP, King of Prussia. Call 855-5NJ-DIET or go to njdiet.com.
At CDW, we get that hybrid working might take some getting used to.
Yep, I'm only in the office part-time, so my cat can adjust to me being gone.
How nice. Wherever you're working, CDW can help you stay connected by implementing secure by design HP Chrome OS devices with built-in virus protection.
Gotta run. The boss is calling.
Mr. Whiskers sounds very demanding. IT orchestration by CDW. People who get it. Find out more at cdw.com/HP Chromebook.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. Oh, dashboard light problems? We can help. Our free Fix Finder service can read your check engine light, ABS light, and service indicator light, and give you possible solutions, verified by licensed technicians. You'll even get detailed results sent straight to your email, so you have them when you need it most. It's the most complete free warning light report, backed by the most robust database of technician solutions. The free Fix Finder service, only at AutoZone. Restrictions apply.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Who doesn't want instant gratification? If you're looking for satisfaction, there's no need to wait. With Credit Karma Money, you could win cash reimbursements for debit purchases. And when you make a purchase between now and June 30th, you'll be automatically entered to win $1 million. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply.
All right, we have goat yoga lattes coming up in the yoga room. Hey, Regan, can you go away?
At Finley's Fitness, personal trainers shouldn't have to personally do everything.
Awesome. Engage that core. That class started 2 minutes ago. I am late.
Hey, Dylan, can you... Indeed can help them hire the people they need.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job, you immediately get your short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for some straight talk. You've got real work to do, but everyone's sucking up the free Wi-Fi faster than a Mocha Choco double frap on ice. So be your own hotspot. Now with Straight Talk Wireless, get 10 gigs of hotspot data with the Ultimate Unlimited plan. Just $55 a month on America's largest and most dependable networks. You don't have to find a hotspot. You are the hotspot. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Compatible device required. See straighttalk.com.
Friends, if you're in a job you can't stand or worried your unemployment benefits will be ending, you need to go to mycomputercareer.edu and fill out the free career evaluation form. I've personally spoken to them, and apparently, employers are lining up to hire their graduates. In as little as 4 months, you could start your career in the growing cybersecurity and networking fields. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Tell them Max sent you.
Ask Sherwin-Williams and get your color your way. We've made it easier than ever to try and buy color. Preview paint colors in your home with our Color Snap app. Then visit swsamples.com to have color chips delivered to your door for free. Or order some peel and stick samples to try on your wall. When you're ready to paint, shop online or stop by your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store and get everything you need.
Place your legal sports bets at BetRivers.com, your new home for sports betting. Millions of betting options a year on the sports you love. We offer live in-game betting on major sporting events worldwide. Tons of bets available during games, from money lines, prop bets, and many more. And when you win, we offer fast and reliable withdrawals. Sign up now, and we'll match your first deposit up to $250. More bets, better odds, more action. Place your sports bets at BetRivers.com. Presented by Rivers Casino Pittsburgh. Must be 21 or over to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, I'm going to Vegas the last week of July. I do not want you to come on that trip with me because I'll be with my wife and daughter. So I don't have room for you. But in October, I want you to come to Vegas with us, the John Kincaid Show, out in Vegas to watch the favorite team here, the Birds, taking on the Las Vegas Raiders. You're going to have a great, great time. It's a four-night trip. We're going to stay at the 50-yard line of Vegas Hotels, the famous Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. I'll send you some video out in Vegas when I'm out there in July and just show you around. Reserve your spot early. Join us on our private charter flight out there. It's going to be an incredible time. And Philly Sports Trips does it better than any local sports travel company, hands down. We're going to have a blast. We got the opening night Welcome to Vegas party. You can hang by the pool. You can go to the John Dornbos private magic show. An unbelievable game day tailgate party. And then the game itself. Go to PhillySportsTrips.com. That's PhillySportsTrips.com. I want you to join us in Vegas. We're going to have a great time.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
7 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show is brought to you by my sportsbook app of choice, the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. You can download it at parkscasino.com/PA and use the promo code Fanatic. You'll all be on your agenda. We got lots to get to this hour, including Jamie has a review of Joel Embiid's performances in clutch games that you will not want to miss. We weren't even able to get to it in the first hour of the show. We will be getting to it soon here, so stick around for that. And we appreciate everybody who is a part of us listening today. We see all of you out there streaming, and we appreciate you taking 97.5 The Fanatic with you every single place that you go. Those of you who watch on Twitch.tv and YouTube, you know you're a special part of the family, and we absolutely love you. The team that's benefited most from the 76ers collapse, other than clearly the Atlanta Hawks, are the Philadelphia Eagles. It sounds strange, but think about it. You have a sloppy divorce from the only coach that won you a Super Bowl. Your GM was accused of ignoring his scouts leading up to the draft. And the debut of your out-of-left-field coaching hire went quite poorly, to say the least. The Eagles were completely swimming in bad PR the first 5-6 weeks of my return to residency in Pennsylvania. But then the Sixers went on a tear. And the Sixers got the top seed. And they took the city by storm. So all the while, except for a few nights around the draft, the Eagles have completely flown under the radar. Well, guess what? It was 55 degrees when I pulled into work today. It felt like really football weather. The sun is going to start shining again today. The rain's getting out of here. And the fog will lift. The 2021 season opener for the Eagles is 81 days away today. This spotlight is about to get hot. That's where we begin the 7 o'clock hour with Bob and Jamie and Pat and the coach Eric Camille and Heavy Chevy directing on Twitch.tv and YouTube. And he's not heavy, by the way. He's skinny as a rail. Dude, get him a sandwich. Tomorrow's Wendy's Day. And, of course, Connor Thomas doing a freaking fantastic job this morning. All the sound and taking your calls, too, at 610-632-0975. There's a great benefit, Jamie, in the fact that the Eagles have gotten... It's the least Eagles talk that I've heard in Philly sports radio in an offseason in a long time.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we used to have instructions from an old boss. Let's get it back to the Eagles all year, 365 days a year.
Which we understand.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's the number one sport and probably most passionate sport amongst everybody.
It's bad.
But... you know, the Sixers granted us some reprieve and some time to focus on them. Flyers had a run last year. So it's, you know, focus hasn't been as much on the Eagles, and I understand why. Expectations are also low for Nick Sirianni and the team. So they have a couple things going in their favor where there's not all this pressure on them because nobody expects anything, and people haven't talked about them now almost up until camp, more or less. So they're skating under the spotlight here for the first time in a while, and maybe it's something they can use to their advantage.
They purposely, Bob, kept Nick Sirianni away, and I've heard from two different people close to the situation saying that is by complete design. There's no need to put Nick Sirianni out front and center during the offseason, and that many coaches do not, in their defense, many coaches do not do a lot of stuff in the offseason. So there's no reason to put a guy who hasn't exactly been great behind a microphone out in front of people all the time.
No, he's got to grow into the job. He's never been an NFL head coach. He's never gotten in front of microphones the way he had to the first few times here.
And they went poorly. Yes.
Exactly, and he didn't do such a very
good job. Guy just loves ball.
Yeah, he loves ball.
Yeah, so it was one of the first things I said when the Sixers lost on Sunday. You know, I always look for that. My son Kyle was like, yeah, well, my alarm's still going to get, you know, go off tomorrow morning. I'm still going to have to get up even if they won. And I said, yeah, you know who's really happy right now is the Phillies and the Flyers, or who isn't happy right now is the Phillies and the Eagles, because now the spotlight goes directly to them.
Sure.
So, yeah, hiding behind the curtains, and I'm not saying that in a negative way, but staying in out of the spotlight is not an option anymore for, like, Nick Sirianni, because sports editors' heads and program directors' heads, their attention just went looking at the Sixers, and now it's turning and looking for something else. And when you're looking for that something else in sports, it's the Eagles.
Pat, I'm so I'm so excited to in any way have any kind of interaction with Nick Sirianni, because I find him fascinating. Because it seems as if he appears to me to be a fish out of water, but I'm not going to sell the man short that he had something that inspired Jeffrey Lurie to hire him, and Jeffrey Lurie has hired really, really good coaches. So I want to find out what he saw.
Yeah, he has, and I think the first couple of press conferences there left a lot to be desired, where
yes,
a lot of us were scratching our heads saying, what did you see?
You're anxious?
You all right,
no,
Pat?
No. I'm looking for the right word. Like, I want to fast forward to September, because there's no storyline with this team. Like, that's one of the reasons why there's not a lot of eyes on the Eagles. It's not necessarily just because of what the Sixers were doing or the Phillies. We're expecting this team to be bad. You know, there's rookies that you kind of look at, but there's not really a training camp battle. I mean, at least for me, there's not a lot of talking points with this Eagles team, where in the past, there's always been something. The lack of expectations have left this team with kind of flat.
It is, and there is a lack of expectations that are playing into this big time. Hey, if you want a job that gets you more, join UPS warehouse workers. Pat, I'm just telling you, they earn up to $24 an hour.
What are you trying to say?
After bonuses. Apply now at upsjobs.com/Philadelphia. I'm telling you, keep all irons in the fire.
Because I'm not excited about the Eagles.
Keep all irons in the fire. I'm just saying, you love ball or what? Do you love ball or do you not love ball?
Come on, Pat.
Nick Sirianni loves ball, Pat.
Nick Sirianni, though, he's appeared a little less like a contestant on The Price is Right since the first two press conferences. Can't believe I'm here.
Yeah.
Can't believe I'm here.
I mean, press conferences are just, you know, kind of overrated in general, in my opinion.
Well,
I love them.
I love them, too. Hey, David in Texas joins us on the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. Good morning, David.
How you doing?
David, Texas is a big place. Where are you?
Austin.
Austin, great town. Oh, great town.
Boston, Massachusetts.
Right. So I'm just want to talk about the Sixers. Just a few things. One, we only have two max contracts. Tobias is not on a max. I don't know why so many people get that confused. He's not on a max. But and then the second thing.
I thought he is about, on a max.
No, he's not on a max.
He's not on a super max. He's not on a max.
Super max. He's on a max.
The max he could have gotten would be $190 million.
That doesn't matter. There's a range in a max contract. There's a range. He's in the low end of the max, right, Bob?
No. The max is the max you can actually get. David.
The president of the team yesterday identified him as a max player.
But I'm telling you, he's not on
so
a max.
So you know, you're telling Darryl. What is it, Bob? Yeah. Can we get a ruling on this?
Yeah, he's on a max.
He's on a max contract, Darryl. David,
no,
he is.
The max would have been 190.
No, that would be the max. There's a range for max contracts.
He's not on a max. I'm telling
David,
you.
There's
he's 30. He's 36 next year, 38 the next year, and 39 the next year. It changes year by year, also.
But look. I'm telling you, look it up. He's not on a max.
Well, David, I got to tell you, then Daryl Morey doesn't even know his own roster.
Are we talking Cinemax?
Then Daryl Morey doesn't know his own roster because he referred to it yesterday.
I don't know what that call just was.
I don't understand it either. First of all, there's not a $1 figure on a max contract, if I'm not mistaken.
And it changes every year.
I understand it.
Yeah.
He's definitely a max player. He's a max player.
Yeah.
He is a max player.
He's the highest paid per season athlete to ever step foot in Philadelphia. Think about that statement.
Okay, that's horrifying.
Ever.
That's horrifying.
In the history of sports, he's the highest paid per season player in Philadelphia. So if that's not a max.
He's the highest paid Sixer this year. He's the highest paid Sixer next year in 22-23 and in 23-24. He is the highest paid Sixer.
Now I got people blowing me up that Daryl Morey yesterday said he's a max player. We got three max contracts.
He put my brain in a pretzel, David. Okay. I don't know what he was talking about.
David, don't be so enthused when you call.
Is he a max?
Hey, clap your hands, you know, for callers like that. Let's just give him a clap. Give him a clap. David, please. Check out, though, our friends at the Parks Casino. They're awesome. The number one casino in Pennsylvania. You got to be 21. If you got a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER and download that Parks Casino sportsbook app. Jamie, you were doing a little bit of a deep dive at Joel Embiid's performances in clutch games, and we didn't get to this earlier on in the show.
Yeah, I feel like a creep even bringing this up.
Why do you feel like a creep?
Because I feel like I'm kind of alone here. Like after game 7, I was texting one of my buddies, and I just said, Embiid wasn't good again. And
in a clutch game, he was
in a clutch game again.
Nope.
And look, I understand he's one of my favorite athletes of all time. I think he's one of the best. He's the best Sixer I think I've seen if he's able to stay healthy. So this is no way slanderous of Joel Embiid, but I do have concerns about how he finishes games. So, you know, here's a couple stats for you. Joel Embiid shot 14 of 56 in the second halves of the final four games of this series to go along with 12 turnovers. He had 16 turnovers in the last two games. He's the first player since 1984 to have back-to-back playoff games with 8-plus turnovers. Over the Sixers' final three games of their season, you're not going to win anything with this. Ben Simmons averaged 6.3 points, and Joel Embiid averaged 7 turnovers. Now, here's his stats in elimination games. He's now 3-4 for a team record of 3-4. His average drops down to 23.4. His field goal percentage drops down to 42%. His three-point percentage drops down to 28%. This is the most eye-popping to me. His free throw percentage drops down to 75%. His rebounds 11.5, his assists 2.1, and his turnover rate averages 5.
By the way, you're not slamming a guy, you're not hating on a guy when you give the facts.
Those are just the facts. I feel as though people hear this and they go, oh, you're blaming Joel Embiid. No, I'm not blaming Joel Embiid. I think he needs help, but I am concerned about how he finishes games, whether that's an injury thing, whether it's a fatigue thing. Whatever it is, it needs to be better if the Sixers are going to win a title, because without him, they're nothing.
And to me, it's so much more than that. Did you guys not get the feeling that just nobody, and I've said this over again, and it's kind of like the Phillies game last night. Nobody went out there and grabbed the game by the neck. You know, I'll admit I didn't watch the Phoenix Suns game last night, but now I've watched the second half today, and I watched a lot of highlights today. Devin Booker went out and grabbed that game.
Oh, he did.
You know, that's what Paul George, although he missed two huge free throws, and he went out and grabbed that game. Like, they went out to say, I'm going to win this game for my team, and I got to be the key player on it. I saw a bunch of Sixers with their hands up in the air saying, well, don't call on me. Not me. I'm not going to go get it.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's more of a feel thing to me than it is.
Yeah.
And your stats are absolutely right. But you can feel when somebody's trying to take over a game, or at least be a huge part of that team, saying, all right, let's go. Here, we got it. Sixer in my mind did that.
When are most games won or lost?
Fourth quarter.
Joel Embiid's worst quarter. Fourth quarters.
And it's probably the conditioning fatigue issue more than anything, I would think.
And he's gotten much better in that.
But his free throw percentage dropping down to 75%, I don't want to read too much into it, but it tells me, like, that's kind of...
Fatigue?
No, there, I think that's kind of onions. Like, so, as the great Bill Raft would say.
Yeah, making 3 out of 4, though, for a big man.
For a normal big man, yes. But this is a guy that has shown you
he can be an
88-89% free throw shooter. He's a guy that shoots technicals for you. He's that good of a shooter. So he's not your normal big man.
By the way, a lot of people requesting, too, on our YouTube channel and everything, Jamie, they'd love for you to dig up the same numbers for Tobias Harris.
Those would be interesting. Maybe because that's a homework
Tobias
assignment for you.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
We'll deliver your homework assignment tomorrow.
You know, I talked about it last week, John, when you were on vacation, about the definition of being clutch in my book. And one was to see the opportunity to be clutch, to embrace it, and then conquer it. Okay? So you see it, you embrace it, you want it. Like, oh, this is where you really have to... And then you conquer it. And once you conquer it and learn how to conquer it, it's never easy, but it becomes more of your DNA of knowing how to do that. I did not and have not seen a Sixers player see a situation and try to conquer it, and let alone conquer it and now get used to it. The most I saw was Joel Embiid's effort last year in the bubble against Boston in kind of a no-win situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a capital offense or anything, but it's something that's been on my mind for a little while. And it kind of went to the conversation yesterday. A center closing a game out from the perimeter is a tough ask, in my opinion. When you have to put the ball on the court and that's not your strong suit, I feel like it just leads to problems.
Well, yesterday, General Hospital's own Stephen A. Smith,
yeah,
Brick, was helping with the budding mob war in Port Charles with the Novaks.
Is he still currently on it?
Yeah, he is. He's, he's Brick on General Hospital.
But like, how often does he pop up?
Twice a month.
Oh.
Maybe two or
so
three.
Semi-regular.
He's semi-regular. I mean, he's two or three times a month.
No Brick one cares.
I thought he was like a once-a-year kind of guy.
I don't know. No.
Great actor.
So he doesn't really. By the way, I got to tell you, he does a really good job.
You know,
he does a really good job in the role.
I'm here to tell you right now.
We don't care.
I was always taught that sports in so many ways can help you in life because it puts you in situations and all. And I've often thought that that's kind of why a lot of sports guys get into acting or whatever, because they're used to a moment of shining and they might be okay.
He's great. Brick.
I've seen him a couple of times. He's pretty good.
He is good.
It's natural to him.
He really is. So I don't know. But Brick had time to do a job on ESPN. He's got a show on ESPN, too. Which shocks me because I only usually see him on General Hospital.
Yeah.
But he was on ESPN yesterday, and he was talking about the Ben Simmons situation.
I just received a text from somebody very, very close to the situation in Philadelphia about Ben Simmons. This is a quote. This is not me. This is them. Quote, he doesn't work, he doesn't listen, and everyone around him is family, and he's constantly babied.
So, Jamie, your thoughts?
Well, I think you have the Windhorst camp right now doing the clutch management speaking, and then you have some others, maybe they're former team employees that were frustrated to a point with him. Maybe it's his sister who appears to be, you know, her tweet yesterday kind of backed up exactly what Stephen A. is saying, and that's his camp is basically excusing his flaws and babying him.
By the way, can I just say this? I'm going to be as respectful as I can. Who the freak is his sister?
His sister.
And what the frick is she talking about his career for?
Well, she's kind of...
She does not... Does she have a career? She's an Instagram girl.
She's kind of on the outs from her family a little bit.
Does she have a career?
I don't know.
Go get your own damn career and stop talking about your brothers publicly.
I'm sure she has a LinkedIn.
Whatever she is. Get the hell into your own life. Leave your brother's career alone. You should have nothing to say about your brother's career publicly. You're his damn brother.
But the only
your
reason...
Sister, I mean, show him, always have your siblings back.
Well...
Don't throw your sibling under the bus. Who the hell are you?
I think
She's an Instagram model.
I think she feels maybe her brother and her family didn't have her back in her times of need. The only reason I bring her up is because she has more of an insight into the Simmons camp and situation.
With an agenda, potentially.
Maybe, maybe not.
She's
don't know.
She's got an agenda with those people.
I
she
don't
has a gripe with them.
I don't want to get into all that.
No, but he just shouldn't be getting into his career.
Sure, but somebody's talking to the media now.
Well, she shouldn't be the one doing it if it's her.
I don't think it is her. I think her tweet backed up what somebody else is telling Stephen A. Smith here, and that's that he needs to be pushed, and people in his camp aren't doing it, and that's more concerning than who's delivering the message.
Bob, I'm hoping that if you were on the beat, that you would have that would have been something you would have wanted to ignore.
The sister thing. Yeah, that's not my I cover basketball.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know,
the Instagram
that would be
model.
Yes,
she can go take a picture of what she's having for lunch and then how she dresses before going out
but
to the
club.
But
she's saying the same thing that Stephen A is saying, which is basketball related, and that's basically that maybe he's not doing the work and he's not looking himself in the mirror.
Who the hell is she?
She's related to him.
Who is she? To be talking about his career publicly.
I mean, my sister knows me better than anybody.
So would she talk about your job on the radio publicly and throw you under the bus?
Well, we have very different family dynamics than what's going on over there.
She has an agenda then.
But hasn't she backed him
up? She did before.
They've been very close their entire lives.
She did before, yes.
Yeah.
Don't do this.
There's been a recent thing which is not suitable for this medium, yes, and we don't know enough to talk about it.
We don't need to hear from her on anything about Beth's career.
I feel like we're getting derailed. The only reason I brought her up was because she essentially said the same thing that Stephen A. is saying.
I believe
that has to do with his camp.
And I both think she may be the source.
I mean, I put on my tinfoil hat yesterday. I would hope Stephen A. isn't using her as his source.
I would hope not.
I think there's enough disgruntled former employees that see the frustration with Ben's lack of next step that could be those sources. I give Stephen A. a little more credit than to use her as his source.
Trust me to say he doesn't have to reach that far.
Yes.
Find somebody say what they said.
There's
about
former shooting coaches. There's former coaches, former teammates,
You know what? I don't want your sister going on social media ripping you. I don't want Bob's family going on ripping him. I wouldn't want my family ripping me on social media or even calling into question like they know. This is a man's career. It's a man's career. Leave it the hell alone. You are not involved. You are not involved in your brother or your sister's job.
I mean, it was a very vague comment.
come on, everybody. It was on.
I hear you.
It was on ESPN yesterday. It was on Fox yesterday. It was on. Everybody knows she put it out there for this reason. Or she let people know that she did. It was on every medium yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. But Stephen A is getting the same thing. And I don't believe Stephen A is using her as a source.
I hope not. I hope he's not.
Word, I think, for whatever reason, word is getting around that maybe this is all a big problem.
You know what? I just wish everybody that has blood with Ben Simmons would have his back and would not get involved with the mob of people that are trying to tear the man down. You're the people he would count on to support him.
Yeah, trust me when I tell you that it wouldn't have been hard for Stephen A. Smith to get what he got from a lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Trust me.
Could be.
Yeah.
Hey, we got a lot coming up for you here on the John Kincaid Show, including the top-selling jersey in the NFL, which may or may not surprise you. It's the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. You know, there is so much fun to be had at the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. I love it because even if I can't make the trip up to the Parks Casino, I've got it right in the palm of my hand. I will tell you, that Parks Casino Sportsbook, it is Vegas quality. Fantastic seating, great TVs, great staff up there to help you out. But here's the bottom line. You want to be betting on the hoops. You want to be betting on the hockey. I shouldn't have bet last night on the Vegas Golden Knights, but that's an entirely different story. Or you might want the baseball betting. Same game parlays in baseball, like betting your team to win plus the over-under total on the runs scored. And new customers right now can sign up and get a risk-free bet of up to $500. Download the app or click parkscasino.com/PA and use the promo code FANATIC. You can bet on player points, rebounds, and assists. And you don't have to bet a team to win. New customers sign up right now. Get your first bet risk-free up to $500. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. If you got a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic, and we appreciate you being a part of things that we've got going on here. Supporting the show, supporting the station. Listen for the Fudgy Wudgy Man in the 8 o'clock hour. We want to get back to you. It's a chance to win a week at the Fanatic Beach House. So you want to get in on that and make sure you're part of that. Jamie, do me a favor. Could you pull up, because I know you follow her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Bob does not. Ben Simmons' sister. Because you are known to follow the girlfriends of players.
Oh, yeah. I follow all the family members, girlfriends, wives,
mistresses.
Anybody I can discover.
Can you pull up the tweet? Because it's an error on my part, and I'm sorry
The
YouTube people. I did not have you give the
okay,
what she said, which was being used on SportsCenter, which was being used on the Fox shows yesterday.
If you want to be great, you must surround yourself with greatness. Mediocrity is contagious, but so is greatness. What do you want? Pick one.
What I would say is this, and Mark,
vague but telling.
Mark asks a question too. Mark D, one of our fine folks on YouTube, is asking questions when he goes, Kincaid claims to be a libertarian, but he's worried about what the sister does. No, Mark, you're missing my point. I don't care what the sister does. If she's an Instagram model, which is what she lists as her profession, she could be an accountant. She could be a cashier at the Wawa. She could be a waitress. She could be a doctor. She could be a nurse. She should not be inserting herself into her brother's career. Don't insert. And more importantly, am I wrong? Bob, am I wrong to hear that? That sounds like she's calling out her brother. Make a choice, Ben. Do you want to be great? If you want to be great, stop surrounding yourself. She has a gripe against their family.
Yes.
And she's telling him to distance himself from his family. And she's inserting himself into the job.
That's the implication, at least.
Well, that's what the implication that was on every sports show yesterday, too, where they were using this as she's talking to Ben. First of all, if it's your brother or your sister, Bob, pick up the damn phone. talk to your sibling. Don't talk to your sibling through a vague tweet.
Yeah, I mean, the times that we've called out what she said in the past on Twitter has been backing him greatly.
Yes.
And telling people, you know, get off. There's been other stuff that she has come out with that are very, very heartbreaking and disturbing.
Correct.
With her. I don't know. I don't know exactly what the text meant. If it meant get away from family, that's a deeper issue. If it meant get away from these people that are maybe sponging off of him and she's looking out for him again.
Could be.
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Just enabling him.
Or enabling.
And maybe she knows her brother can be great.
The only thing is, though, is that don't insert yourself into your brother's job.
I hear you on that.
I mean, it's incorrect. That's out of bounds.
And I'm sorry. I feel like I brought up something that wasn't.
No, I think it's good, though.
but it just confirmed the same exact thing that Stephen A. basically said yesterday and others. So I was like, huh, this is like three kind of things all in the same day.
By the way, it was pointed out to me by two emailers that the Fox shows were suspecting that she is the source for Stephen A.
I guess
they were sort of throwing it out there going, isn't it coincidence that Stephen A is running with the same thing as she's putting out this tweet?
I can see the bridge, but I
would think Stephen A has a better source.
Yes.
And Bob said lots of people could.
I brought up on the show about the entitlement that both he and Joel Embiid have had since they were drafted by this team and brought into this organization. So that did not, what Stephen A. Smith said yesterday did not surprise me a little bit.
Truth and Wisdom on our YouTube says she's a human.
That's
with
Philip.
She's a human with an opinion, John. She's getting involved in her brother's work. So Truth and Wisdom, go call into question your sibling publicly on something where they're under attack at their job. I mean, it's just, it makes no sense. What are you talking about? It's an opinion. You do not do that.
Well, I think
you don't do it.
I mean, regardless of the subject delivering the message, I think the opinion is you can be better.
Yeah.
And that's what this all boils down to.
What? She does not know his job. He does not know her job. Ben doesn't know how to be an Instagram model. She does not know how to be an NBA player.
She was a basketball counselor or something.
Okay,
I know
lots of them, too.
Yeah.
I know 10 of them.
She's not completely removed from basketball.
Bob, you were a basketball counselor back. I mean, you could counsel him on this. You could do this. Oh, my gosh. By the way, the NFL's top-selling jersey, and it continues to be now the last 40 hours, is the NFL's first openly gay player.
Local product.
Carl Nassib from Malvern Prep and Westchester, Pennsylvania.
And Penn State.
And the reaction, I'm going to say, is different than I expected. I expected more trolls.
Yeah.
I expected less public support. And I expected people to just say, keep it to yourself. Why is this such a big deal? Why'd you have to go put it on, put it out there in a feed? Why are you talking about that? I admire what the young man did. I admire the guts that he had to do it. And considering that no one has ever had the guts to do it in his industry, I admire it. But I got to tell you, the reaction, the nationwide reaction, I'm impressed.
Well,
I didn't expect it.
I think he did a great job addressing why he did it, because you can kind of tell he seems like a private person. Like he seems just kind of meek and not like in front of the camera type of guy. But he said, you know, anybody that can basically associate with somebody in a public position or figure dramatically helps those that are afraid or are unwilling to live their lives. It's a beautiful thing he did. And the support, you're right. I expected a lot worse.
I expected the trolls to become a major story.
Yes. Yeah.
Nationwide.
And I think it's a great sign of the times that nobody really cares.
Yeah, I love the fact that one, he said it, because I do think it takes a lot of guts to say it. I mean,
absolutely,
53 guys in a locker room, not everybody's going to have the same view, and some people might feel uncomfortable, and he's aware of that. But the outpouring of support, not just from his teammates, like Derek Carr reached out to him, but other people in the NFL, and it's great. And I hope that his message rings true, the fact that one day, you know, videos like that won't even have to be a big deal.
That's exactly what my thought was.
Yeah.
God bless him, because there's so many people that feel better about themselves today that should never have felt bad about themselves because of what he came out and said and feeling more free. I can't, and I have this reaction all the time, and believe me, I'm saying this in a positive way. I can't wait till the day that nobody has to say anything about themselves because nobody cares.
And at work.
I thought it was very normal
the way he did it.
Exactly. He did a great job.
What's up, guys? It's Carl. I'm gay.
Yeah.
Boom. Short, sweet, and like, all right, this is,
that was it. It was
this
done.
Should be normal now.
When we can define this world as good people and bad people and not care about anything in between, I pray for it almost every day, you know, and God bless him, and that's awesome what he did.
And his donation.
Trevor Fund, which is apparently very big. I knew nothing about that. I didn't either, but apparently they're huge.
The NFL matched it, right? And the far-reaching effects that he has on people that a lot of us don't even know or realize is terrific. I saw so many people saying last night or commenting last night about how much easier now it will be for them to come out and be accepted by people in their workplace because they've seen the reaction.
Well, there's been one in the NBA.
Jason Collins was the first, right?
One in the NFL. None in the NHL. None in Major League Baseball. That's mind-boggling to me.
It is
mind-boggling. And because it is 2021.
Yeah.
And I think we'll see more. Hey, let's lighten the mood a bit. Whenever you turn the show over to Pat Egan, you always know you're getting Pat's takes.
Uh-oh.
Wit or without, either way, it's time for Pat's Takes.
Brought to you by Pat's King of Steaks, the inventor and creator of the cheesesteak sandwich. Always open at 9th and Morton and patskingofsteaks.com.
Hello. Still looking for some, by the way.
They're coming.
Come on, Pats.
Patience is a virtue, Johnny.
There you go.
Patience was something that, of course.
And they're calling right now to put an order in.
And they're ready. Patience was something that Phineas Bryce probably should have focused on. Phineas was walking the streets with a dilemma. So he was broke, having just spent his last $23 on a vegan wrap and a bougie soda. But while Finn's tummy was full, his mind was not. And he was in need of some weed. But with no money, he had no other choice but to look to the heavens and say, please, God, send me some kush. And every once in a while, God answers your prayers. Two steps later, Finn was hit in the head with the dopest dope he's ever smoked. Straight from the heavens, $20,000 worth of weed fell right out of the sky.
What?
And it put people like Finn in a frenzy on the streets as they scooped up the free strain Dank Rivers. Apparently, when you smoke it, you suddenly start coughing and choking, and then you have trouble adjusting to your surroundings. Anyway, the ganja from God, though, wasn't actually from God. So what happened was it was a drug deal gone wrong. Police say a dealer had gone to a rooftop looking to sell the weed for about 20 grand, and the buyers tried to rob the dealer. The dealer tossed the weed to the streets below, deciding he'd rather have the weed go to strangers than the robbers. The police were called and apprehended both the dealer and the buyer, and after a week in jail, the dealer has safely returned back to his job as a morning radio host talking sports in General Hospital.
I did not get involved in any kind of transactions like that, but imagine just stuff falling from the sky. On the block that I live, I'd believe it.
We're not naming names, John.
I think I could believe it.
Police didn't release names on that one.
Okay, good. I'm all right then. So make sure.
Yeah, we'll move on to this one. When you're a bitter sports fan, you should probably log off because any attempted trolling is not going to end well. So when people see you trolling the team that bounced you from the playoffs, they might say, you know, hey, jealousy. At VicFang10 should have logged off, but he didn't. So when he saw, VicFang10 is a Nuggets fan. When he saw the 90s group, the Gin Blossoms, tweet that they would be playing halftime at the Suns game, he took a shot saying, quote, leave it to the Suns to book the third crappiest band ever. But like a Ben Simmons free throw, he missed and missed poorly because no one attacks the Gin Blossoms and lives to tell about it. They responded to that tweet, who did your Nuggets book for tonight? Now, at this point, you'd think that Vic would probably give up on Twitter, but no, this is Twitter. You double down. And Vic responded by saying that the Nuggets season is now as relevant as the Gin Blossoms. And they decided to drag him again, saying, quote, we're playing one more game of the Western Conference Finals than your Nuggets. Vic actually tripled down at this point. He brought up their album sales.
I'm not even sure what a tweet is, but it wasn't a good tweet.
It wasn't. And they put him in a body bag, reminding him that the royalty checks keep cashing. They then posted a photo of the Suns and Four guy. So let this be a lesson to Jamie Lynch. When the Hawks book Chumbawamba for halftime, resist the urge to try and troll them because 90s bands might get knocked down, but they clearly get back up again.
I already won my dispute with the city of Atlanta and the honorless Trey Young, so I'm good.
So that was the one they got on you about?
Yeah.
Pat, what were they on you about?
I muted conversation. Like, as soon as I saw your little minions from Atlanta start popping in.
Start getting on
you. Mute this conversation's great. So
that's wonderful.
I think what they were getting on me about, I was talking a lot of crap when they were up 26.
Okay.
And you know, it ended poorly for me. I saw it going another way.
Okay.
I saw that going differently in my mind.
I saw them winning the game. They blew it. They came at me, whatever. So I just muted the conversation and watched Netflix.
There we go.
Okay, this one's kind of sad, though. Life for Ben Zobrist has gone the trajectory of the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, gosh.
Because 5 years ago, he was on top of the world. He won the World Series MVP. He helped the Chicago Cubs break their curse. But like the Eagles, fast forward to today, and he's contacting Joe Cordell. Unfortunately, even though Zobrist played in Illinois, he lives in Nashville. And as everyone knows, Joe Cordell isn't licensed in that state.
But that's okay.
Because he is surely looking for a divorce attorney after being swindled by the family's pastor.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so the pastor's name is Byron Yawn. Hell of a name. But he may as well have gone by Littlefinger because he's a scumbag snake right out of Game of Thrones. Yawn met the Zobrist family 16 years ago, and he wormed his way into their inner circle. It's bad enough that Yawn defrauded Zobrist Foundation for $8 million, but then Yawn got greedy and became Mr. Steal Your Girl. When things started to fray in Zobrist and his wife Juliana's marriage, he saw his shot, and he took that shot. Sleeping with Zobrist's wife while also counseling Ben, telling him to give Juliana some space. Eventually,
okay, that's creepy.
Yeah, messed up.
Eventually, Zobrist found out that the two had been sleeping together for the past year, and he confronted Yawn.
A year ago?
Oh, I thought you knew. Please, don't take it seriously.
What the f***, man? You
just don't get offended by that.
You can't be so casual about this. This isn't Europe, okay? There are rules here.
I'm really sorry. I apologize for offending you. I just hope this doesn't ruin our friendship.
Well, it actually did kind of ruin their friendship a little bit.
I bet it did.
While many people feel bad for Zobrist and think Yawn is a scumbag, Eagles defensive tackle Fletcher Cox took to Twitter, announced that after reading the story, he was inspired. He plans to become a pastor and a marriage counselor in the very near future for all the men out there with their hot wives.
And Zobrist is suing, I believe, the whatever.
Okay, he's having meltdown, though.
But to his point, it is fraudulent.
But you did see that he did put the ring up for auction.
Yeah.
I thought his agent came out and said that he didn't.
Because the agent didn't know, supposedly, or something. But I think it's been removed.
Was it a deacon, a pastor? What was it?
I don't know.
It's fraudulent, whatever it is.
Yeah, he's suing the guy for $8 mil.
Well, you're not supposed to. I think you're supposed to take anything that you get in, like, counseling and then use it. Like, I believe a psychologist or a psychiatrist is not supposed to ever get involved with their patient.
No.
Like,
no,
not
God,
to, like,
no.
Start
That's,
carrying on with
God, no.
Like, if you hear that, like, my husband doesn't love me and...
Using that information to your advantage?
Right, you're never supposed to do that.
Yikes. Oh, I mean, that guy's...
Seriously. Yeah, give her some space. Maybe, like, tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Just go out for, like, 2 hours or so. Give her some space.
Scumbag pastor.
Good job, Pat. Where's Pat's steaks, too?
Connor lives right there.
Thank
we
you for
arrange
asking
this.
That question. Where is it again? They're located at 9th and Wharton. Mm-hmm. PatsKingOfSteaks.com also if you're out of town.
I like how you say that. Wharton.
What? How am I supposed to say it?
Wharton.
I say Wharton.
No, you didn't.
I didn't?
Wharton. Whatever. Who cares?
You said it like you wouldn't. You said it like
you know where Pat's steaks is.
Oh, I do. And I know where Pat's steaks is, too. It's awesome.
I'm starving.
I'm hungry.
Yeah,
now,
this segment
too.
Makes me hungry
now
every
hungry.
Time.
There you go. There we go. In Cooney's Corner, let's just say that sometimes veteran coaches don't always push the right buttons.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
Yes, so you brought him in. You brought in the championship coaches of years past in Doc Rivers and Joe Girardi. And look, I'm fine with it, still fine with it, but they have had their shortcomings of late, of course.
They most certainly have.
I'm really excited for this Nick Sirianni guy. I said it from day one, didn't I, John?
Yeah, you
like
did.
Like
you
his
did.
Press conference, I said, okay, yeah, it's awkward and it's different and he might be too excitable and there might be a little act in there. But I just think it's a guy that's excited to coach football, and he sees the opportunity that he has that only one of 32 people have, and he is unbelievably excited about it. I can't wait to see this guy and see what he has to do. You know, there's not much expectations laid upon him, and I'm not expecting him to come in here and be, you know, the next Andy Reid or anything like that, but I'm just excited to see what this dude has.
I'm very excited for Nick Sirianni.
I'm excited to look at a coach and laugh.
I have a lot of doubt, but I had a ton of doubt about Andy Reid and a ton of doubt about Doug Peterson and a ton of doubt about Chip Kelly, and I was only right on one out of three.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
we don't know until we see.
And by the way, again, in Chip Kelly's defense, he didn't come in here and just go crap the bed and do 3-13, 4-12. He came in and went 10-6 2 years in a row.
Yeah, it's a pretty impressive start.
So I'm excited for Nick Sirianni.
It's been a while since
I'm interested to meet the guy.
Yeah.
I'm not looking to like stand there on the sidelines and get the fist bump and stand there and giggle at his jokes like.
But I bet if you had a beer with him, you would find him incredibly normal.
I think I'd be completely engaged.
Yeah, I don't think he's spoiled or ruined by the job yet. Like, there's still that energy and freshness to him. So I think he's probably just very normal. I'm pulling for the guy.
Well, we better be.
Well, yeah, aside from Eagles fandom, I find him enjoyable. I find that passion contagious if it's falling on the right ears. So, you know, I'm looking forward to the season. I think he's probably storyline two for me just because of the importance of the quarterback. But I'm really excited to see him and Gannon and what they got.
It's funny you bring up Gannon because in the pool at the beach, get into a conversation with a guy. He knew Gannon from coaching circles. He coached with him at one time.
Oh, okay. Oh, really?
Gentleman talking to me who's now in the SEC. He's a college coach in the SEC and a position coach. And he said to me point blank,
he's got it.
He said, if you had said to him a Colt was going to be a head coach,
Gannon.
He said he loves what Gannon brings to the table.
My only fear with him is he's going to be good and we're going to lose him pretty quickly and have to start that process over.
But,
I'll take that.
He said Gannon is a winning hire.
Good.
And he was very high on Jonathan Gannon.
Yeah, I just think it's a coaching staff that we can look at with a smile and no expectations and kind of look at with your feet up and say, all right, what do you got?
Yeah,
and they're excited.
And Pat, you're at the point, this team doesn't have storylines. This is about the most compelling storyline is this coaching staff.
Yeah, that says a lot to me.
It does about the roster.
And I worry, too, because Gannon's getting more love than Sirianni. I worry that they once again hired the wrong assistant. Last time it was
the wrong brother died, Dewey.
And I get that reference. And, you know, we all sat back and went, maybe they should have hired Frank Reich as the head coach.
I have tons of doubt when it comes to Nick Sirianni, and that doubt comes from him. Comes from watching him, how he's done when the spotlight's on him. But it doesn't mean that the guy won't be a successful head coach. It doesn't mean that he won't make connections with players.
I think he already has. I think he's already made connections. I think they do like him.
I'm hoping that's the case.
I'm interested to see what happens when they're losing. Everything's great. Playing rock, sure, paper, scissor, all that crap during training camp. But when you're losing, how does he motivate guys? Do they listen to him? Do they tune him out? That's the one thing I'm looking forward to the most.
And does he can?
He's looking forward to losing.
And does he get cannibal? No. Well, you want to see how someone?
Well, yeah, sure. But I'd rather look forward to them winning.
Yeah, but I'm not.
I'd like a good draft.
Jamie, you're the only one though is thinking, and you may end up being right. That you're the only one though that's thinking that this team's going to be like we're going to be talking about them in December still.
Wow.
Potentially in the next.
My winning is still like 6-7 games.
That's almost a .500 team.
Yeah, but that's not going to be. If you go 7-10, that's not going to feel good.
I'm not cheering for them to
Guess
lose,
what?
But I expect it.
It would be a success for them.
We're on completely different pages. If this Eagles team goes 7-10, I'm thinking really highly of Nick Sirianni.
Oh, I'll think decently of Sirianni, but I'm not. That's not a winning team to me.
Wow, I'm 7-10. Sign me up for it right now.
Like, really? I thought you wouldn't be for that.
No. If you're talking about would I be optimistic about their future and him as a head coach,
yeah.
7-10. No, I'm signed up for 3-14. I'm signed up for 4-13 and the great draft pick because next year's a critical, critical draft to building the future.
Oh, yeah.
But if they go 7-10, I'm going to be like, man, this Sirianni can coach.
Yeah.
He can coach. Because I don't see it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the whole thing that is being head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles and more press conferences and how he handles game situations, all of it.
All right, is it a smear campaign on Ben or is it a valid critique? We'll get to it next. John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. You know, as a two-time cancer survivor, I can tell you your cancer research funding saves lives. Every time you make a donation, every time you reach out to organizations like our official charity, the American Association for Cancer Research, you are helping to touch people who are fighting the battle right now, people who will fight the battle in the future, or people who maybe have succumbed to it in the past. You are helping create life-saving breakthroughs to change the pathway of these devastating diseases. Donations from private citizens like you and me add up to big breakthroughs. And there are like 17 million Americans out there like me who are cancer survivors today. And your donations support the scientists and the doctors who will discover that next breakthrough. Make giving hope to cancer patients and their families part of your routine. You can make a monthly donation. You can check out AACR. They are a great organization, the American Association of Cancer Research. We've made it easier for you. Visit AACR.org/fanatic. That's AACR.org/fanatic. Because I'm here to tell you, cancer research saves lives.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
O'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show. Brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. All right, now, Pat, when Coach picks lousy music to come back with that you don't like, he sometimes picks really good music to come back with there, too. So.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's good.
Do you like this or something?
Yes, I do.
Okay, we'll bump it up a little bit. You're a big D-Light fan?
D-Light, very good.
Huh? Groove is in the heart?
I was going to ask you who was the performer because I could not remember.
Yeah, I'm kind of indifferent on this song.
You sort of indifferent on it?
Yeah. I don't hate it, but I don't love it.
Yeah.
You're a little indifferent?
Same. Like, I kind of like it sometimes. Sometimes I think it's awful.
I love it.
What he said.
You're indifferent on it.
I think it depends on the mood.
It used to be, there was a show called, you're probably too young for it, The Richard Bay Show.
No idea.
Richard Bay used to work at Channel 3 here in Philly. And he used to do a talk show, sort of like Maury Povich did on Channel 3 before he became nationally. And he went up to Channel 9 in New York, and they had The Richard Bay Show. And he was trying to be Jerry Springer-ish, but he would have his topic for the day. Would be big-breasted women versus little-breasted women.
In what? What are they versing in?
They would argue.
About chest sizes?
Like, what's better? What's better? Do men like little-breasted women or big-breasted women?
Sounds like they have the men on there fighting.
And then then the men were in the audience, and then the men would be chiming in, and this is the kind of show he did. And then they would have a thing. I swear to you.
Can't believe it didn't last.
I swear to you, it's... No, Pat. It lasted for like 5-6 years.
Come on, Pat. Sounds like
Richard Bay Show.
Sounds like there weren't a lot of options back then.
He would have them running through, but then they would go, okay, well, now we're going to have the competition to see who wins. The team of the big-breasted women or the little-breasted women, and he would have them running through like tires like they were at football camp.
Oh, my God.
And they'd have slow-mo cameras. I'm not kidding you.
Sounds like he needed to be horny boots.
By the way, this was a 10 in the morning show.
What?
I'm not kidding you. The Richard Bay
Never
Show.
Saw that. I don't remember it was the at rich, all. That's
and
funny.
Then they made it... When they tried cleaning it up, they made it 9 Broadcast Plaza. That was like they changed the name of the show and tried to make it a little more hard-hitting.
Yeah.
Because he went totally. I mean, he would have, they do the same thing with, it was unbelievable.
I don't remember that show at all.
Large men versus smaller men.
Yeah, smaller.
Endowments.
Oh.
And they would have it was so stupid, but it was fun.
Apparently
and
they had a viewer in you, though.
They did. I watched Richard Bay show. That's funny. Kidding
what
me?
Was it about like game show and talk show guys that are so horny?
Relax. Those shows?
Yeah, like Richard all the Dawson. Richard Dawsons and like
Pat Sajak.
Who?
Oh, the guy from I'm drawing a blank on him.
Pat who?
Price is Right.
It's Bob Barker.
Bob Barker.
He
Bob
got
Barker.
Down.
Went through every single showcase model out there.
Well, wait, allegedly.
Allegedly. But totally.
He would grab a lot of butts, Bob Barker.
Hey, Ben Simmons continues to be the center stage story in the NBA. And now you even have Stephen A. Smith going with stories being told secondhand to him about the behind-the-scenes drama with Ben. But it tells me, and we got into this a little bit earlier, it almost has me feeling sorry for him a little bit. I hate whisper down the lane situations. I am all in fair game for talking about his on the court failings. I sort of dislike it though when these situations turn into attacks of character, especially when they're not being made by people on the record. Don't get me wrong, if I have personal knowledge from my own experience that someone is a jerk, I will gladly share it with you because it is a personal experience one-on-one. I will tell you right now, Keith Olbermann is one of the worst human beings that I've ever met on the entire earth. From personal experience, from personally being in his presence, dealing with him, having to co-host with him, I can tell you, awful. But I don't like taking someone else's word on attacks of character. And to me, it sounds like right now Ben Simmons is facing a bit of a smear campaign. And Bob, you've been around these situations. You know these situations. I don't talk about Ben's shortcomings as a player, talk about his thing, but these now things coming out about Ben's work ethic, the drama behind the scenes and everything. This always happens. If the Sixers were playing right now, none of these stories would be out there. If they had beaten the Hawks in Game 7, we'd be talking about Game 1 tonight of the Eastern Conference Finals, and no one would be trashing Ben Simmons. So it makes me feel a little sorry for him.
Sure, let's go back to a month ago. Were we talking bad about Ben Simmons at all? No. Anything he was doing on the court? Maybe we wanted him to shoot a little more, be more aggressive, but it wasn't reaching
that came up. Yeah, that came up often.
But it wasn't reaching the heights that they are now. Look, when you're trying to dissect what's wrong with somebody as far as their playing ability or not reaching it, you first go to the court, field, ice of where they perform and try to figure it out that way, right?
Correct.
You do all that, and you've done that endlessly for 4 years with Ben Simmons. So now you don't have answers, so you go a little deeper, and that's where comes these troubling times that you're talking about where, all right, what's he do? Spend too much time with his family. He doesn't do this. He does do that. Teammates don't like him. Teammates do like him. It gets deeper. I always tried to concentrate on, okay, those things might be there, and you hear those things. Does it affect what we're talking about, his on-the-court play? And I do think some of the entitlement that this team has given him probably does. And I do think his unwillingness to listen, which is blatantly obvious after we had a coach here before Doc Rivers come out in articles and say, I'm begging for him to shoot, and he doesn't do it. So it's a fine line, but whatever line you go to, keep to see if what you're talking about is affecting him on the basketball court, because ultimately that's all we really know about Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I don't necessarily feel bad for him because my gut tells me the root of these stories are somebody that's fed up with him, that's at a breaking point.
Guess what? If you're fed up with him and you're at the breaking point, put your name on it.
I don't disagree with you there.
Don't go whispering to Stephen A. Smith. Don't go whispering to someone else. I believe you're men. I believe it's supposed to be men in this business. If you're one of his teammates, if you're one of it, and you got a problem with Ben Simmons, speak up.
But
say what your problem is.
The only problem with that is there's no guarantee he's traded. And if you come out, let's say it's Joel Embiid, and he came out and was like, yeah, you know, I have real concerns about the direction of this franchise. I mean, you just completely took the knees out from under your team in terms of trying to get a fair value move. That's what gives me concern, and that's why I don't feel bad for him, because if I was a teammate, and look, there's only two guys that have been with him for more than 4 years now, and that's Furkan and Joel, and I felt as though I'm putting in work, and I'm getting better, and I'm doing this and that, and I view you as the reason why we can't get over a hump, then it might be justified.
If you're going to smear somebody, Pat, I think you got to put your name on it.
I understand. Yeah, I understand what Jamie's point is, though. You know, if you might end up playing with the guy. Yeah, it's dumb.
Yeah.
I do feel bad for the guy, though.
I do. I feel bad for Ben Simmons today, and I can't believe
it. Well, yeah, I mean, yes, everything is going back to Ben in the sense of, like,
sure,
he's got to fix himself. And I think we all know that. Ultimately, it's got to be Ben's decision to shoot. It's got to be Ben's decision to be aggressive. All of that. But it sucks. It sucks. And he knows he played poorly, and now he's getting dragged by strangers. I feel bad for him as a human.
Truth and Wisdom is having a really bad day today. He says, I hate whisper down the lane situations. He's quoting me, and he says, but such and such told me this, such and such told me that. Yes, Truth and Wisdom, when you've got good sources that you've created over the years, they tell you things. But there's a difference between telling you things about tearing down a person, personal attacks on a person and their character, and stuff they tell you about the team and the games and how things are going on. Completely different situation.
Yeah.
But this is character assassination on Ben Simmons right
now.
Well,
it's only character assassination if it's not true, right?
No, it's character assassination either way. In my opinion, it is.
Well, sure, but we're talking. Look, I don't care what athletes make. I think they should make, you know, whatever. But we're talking about a $180 million player. With great money comes great responsibility.
Okay.
And I don't think it's necessarily, if it's true, and I have no idea, then it's not, to me, it's not character assassination.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. We'll have Adam Schefter joining us here momentarily as he will join us here on the show. And honestly, I've never heard of a quieter NFL offseason, Bob. This is the quietest.
It really has been, right?
It's a quiet offseason.
And I told you during the break that when we had Schefty last week, we were obviously in the middle of basketball, everything going on with the Sixers, and Jamie and I talked it out. My first question to him was, Schefty, we're going to hit you on basketball today, but is there anything going on in the NFL? And he's like, no, not really.
And I'm going to ask, the first question I have for him today is this question. Are NFL teams wising up to circling the wagons and shutting down leaks?
Yeah.
Like, I know, Jamie, it's been one of your things with the NovaCare complex is the leaks.
Oh, yeah. Loose lips sink ships.
Is this a certified sort of a plan by NFL teams to not have off-season stories?
Yeah.
There's no drama. Things are very quiet.
It's been a weird off-season. To your point, even the free agency period, I didn't feel had its normal guster behind it.
And maybe it's NFL teams circling the wagon saying, we let too much stuff out.
You know what it also could be, John, and you bring up a great point. It could be that they looked at the pandemic and all, as bad as it was for so many people and all of that, but maybe in a business sense they looked at it and said, wow, we don't have to be out there every day. You know, there's more things going on. NFL news of this and that might not be as important as, you know, coming together as a society and all that stuff.
Adam Schefter joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline because every day in business is a big day. Let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next. And Adam's with us thanks to
our great friends at DraftKings Sportsbook. It's America's top-rated sportsbook app.
Adam, great to have you on. And we were just talking before we set you up for this is the idea that this has been the quietest NFL offseason that we can remember in a long time. You live it. You breathe it. You are immersed in it. Do you feel the same way?
Absolutely not.
You don't?
Oh, my God. No. I think you've got recency bias.
Okay. Because, well, that's very, very well true with me. I know that.
Well, hold on a second. I want you to think about something here. Okay. We had the Lions trade Matthew Stafford. We had the Eagles trade Carson Wentz. We had all the noise around Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. We still have an unresolved Deshaun Watson situation. We had a number of quarterbacks drafted. We had the 49ers move up. You know, Aaron Rodgers, that situation is such that you have the NFL's reigning MVP. There have been two times in NFL history where a reigning MVP has not returned to his team to play the next season. One was 1960, Norm Van Brocklin. The other was 1965, Jim Brown. Both players retired. So we are looking at an unprecedented situation with Aaron Rodgers. We have a situation with Deshaun Watson, one of the best young quarterbacks in the game, that we still don't know how it's going to play out, where there are some serious accusations leveled against him, where he already wanted out of Houston. You had, obviously, all those other quarterback moves, and there were a ton of them, not to mention a record contract for Dak Prescott. No, I definitely don't think that this was the quietest offseason in a long time. In fact, I believe that with the increased coverage of the sport, I think that the scrutiny of it, the attention given to it, it goes up every year. Every year. That's my experience. That's me living it.
And now, you're living it a lot more than we are. So, I mean, you're immersed in it.
Yeah. Now, listen, you guys had Doug Peterson fired, the Eagles head coaching search, Nick Sirianni hired, Carson Wentz traded.
Can you do a wellness check, by the way, on Nick Sirianni? Because we don't even know that he's well. I mean, that he's you know, he's hidden away. We're anxious to get to know him. We're anxious to get to know who this guy is. We can't wait for camp.
Well, the Eagles are beloved right now, right? Like they're a hero. There's everything else going on, right?
Absolutely.
Shefty, do you feel we were just talking about this, like we haven't heard, and we're talking local reporters and all that stuff, but to us it has been kind of quiet football wise around here, and I just posed something out there to John, and I don't have any facts behind it, but just wondering, did the pandemic play any part of teams maybe dialing things back? And you now look, you're always going to be busy because you're an insider, but as far as out to the public stuff, it has seemed a little more quiet. And I wonder if the pandemic has made teams realize that they don't have to be as forthcoming as they once were. Maybe
I'm really intrigued by the fact that you guys think it's been quiet. Like I just can't believe that. Again, I think it's June 23rd, and there hasn't been a ton of things certainly connected to Philadelphia in a little while. And so to you, it does feel quiet.
And maybe we're parochial a little bit. You know what I mean?
John, I never thought of you as a parochial guy, but maybe you are.
Well, I went through parochial school, so I definitely can fit that.
Yeah, Adam, big story in the NFL this week, obviously, as a local guy, Carl Nassib came out as the first openly gay NFL player. What's the word around the league? Obviously, the outpouring looks like near 100% positive, and kind of, his jersey sales are the best in the league right now. It's been a beautiful story. What's the word around the league?
Well, I think that, again, the people look at the story and look at what he's done, and they look at how it will open roads and pave ways for other people to do the same, to share their truths and not walk with that burden to themselves and be able to be truthful and honest. And I just think it's the continued development of our society and the open-mindedness of our society to accept these things, whereas in the past, that didn't seem to be the case. I mean, remember Dave Coppay writing a book about how he was gay after he was done playing football, and it was a big secret, and you haven't heard too many people talk about these types of things while they played. Michael Sam never played a game and was never really an active player. So I don't know that came up. But this, Carl Nassib was the first active NFL player, a guy who's on a roster and making plays, talking about the fact, hey, that he's gay, and that was his statement this week, and it got so much attention. Like honestly, as reporters, I think we always, when you're reporting on something, you always think, well, this is going to be big, and some things are big, and some things aren't as big as you think, and This one just like it's on World News Tonight. It's on, Good Morning America. It's everywhere. And so I just think that shows you how much people cared about it.
I like the simplicity with the way he did it.
Yeah. Yeah. I listen, if you're going to do it, something like that, you might as well put it in your terms. And he did it in a very classy way, making a donation as well to help other young people in that position. So, bravo to Carl Nassib. I thought he did a great job with it this week.
Shefty, just your thoughts on what happened with the local basketball team in this past series against the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, I'm sorry to bring it up, but let me say this. We did talk a couple of weeks ago, and I told you at that point in time that the Hawks were a better team than people realized. Now, that doesn't account for some of the failings of the 76ers that your city obviously doesn't want to hear about. I get that. But I'm just telling you, that Hawks team is better than people realize, I think.
Well, they got the best record since Nate McMillan took over. They're the best team in the NBA.
Yeah, I remember I said that to you? Like, I saw them eliminate the Knicks, and I was talking to some of their people and was getting texts from a couple of people. And I remember Wolf sending me a text that night, and he said, they're really good, aren't they? I'm like, yeah, they are. And I thought to myself, people notice how talented that team was. Trae Young can shoot. And Bogdanovich can shoot, and Herter played very well in that series, elevated his play. John Collins stepped up, which, by the way, about time for that. The guy had been very inconsistent all year long and played like the great player that he can be. Capella was solid. You know, Lou Williams off the – I mean, they just got a lot of people that can play. And the Sixers, they just didn't play their best basketball.
No.
The right time, and obviously you don't need me to document the failings. I think you guys have taken that apart.
Yeah, a little bit.
Right?
We've been slightly critical.
And you know what it does come back to, though?
Honestly, just
game five.
Yeah, it does. That's it. It all came back to that.
Yeah, like there was a night where it was done. It was over. They had taken care of their business. All they had to do was just finish washing their hands and go sit down and fall asleep on the couch. And they couldn't do it. They just couldn't do it. And they opened the door and they invited this upon themselves.
Artie, you said you were not taking vacation this summer because you guys aren't like travelers. Is there a day you would, though, take a day trip?
We're worried about you, Shefty. You need some time off.
Well, again, there are certain days that I look forward to more than others. It's like staycation days. Like,
okay, that's what I mean, though. There are days like where you'll do something like a day trip.
No, a day trip, no. No, that
not even going to leave?
I was just up in the North Fork, Adam. It's lovely up there.
Yeah, no, listen, we have, my wife is a big family, and we were talking yesterday. One of her cousins, he and I came up with what we call Cousins Day. And so every Cousins Day, he lives out in East Hampton, on July 4th every year, that weekend, he has all the cousins out. And so he said, hey, we're going to have cousins out this year, that weekend, one day. And we're talking about how we're going to go because we got two puppies at home. We got five dogs at home. Like, how are we doing that?
Dog sitter. Well, professional dog sitter. Doesn't Aaron Rodgers' ex have, like, that app that she peddles on TV about people will come to your house and take care of the dogs?
You know what? We
You're Adam Schefter, for God's sakes.
What does that mean? I don't know.
Well, you can pay. You can afford to have somebody come, and you can probably afford to have somebody come and take care of the dogs.
Pat Egan will come up for a week, and he said he won't even
charge
all that
much. We'll send Egan for a week. Yes.
Yeah, Mo doesn't give a crap about the fire.
Hey, Adam, have a great week, man. We appreciate it.
Guys, appreciate
it. Thank you, buddy.
See you, Shefty.
Thanks, Shefty.
Thank you, buddy. I'm spending Adam Schefter's money for it.
He was on that Atlanta Hawks.
He was.
It was funny. We had him on, and he said, keep an eye out for them. I really like the way they play.
And he kind of agreed with me that Trae Young plays with no honor. So, he recognizes real.
Well, they changed the rules.
Yeah.
And Trae was
I win Atlanta.
And Trae was proud of that. So.
And Atlanta says they won, too.
Team USA looks great on paper. Unfortunately, you don't play the games on paper. I want Coach Bob to tear down this roster for me and tell me good or bad. We'll get to that, plus your calls at 610-632-0975. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic, and I want you to come to Vegas with us this October. So lock in your deposit right now. Go to phillysportstrips.com with your credit card in hand for the best away game trip ever. It is your birds for the first time ever in Vegas in October. It's going to be awesome. How about this? You join our show. John Dorenbos comes along, puts on a private magic show for us. We'll stay at the 50-yard line of Vegas Hotels, the famous Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. You can reserve your spot early, and you can join us on the private charter flight. Philly Sports Trips does it better than any other local sports travel company, hands down. We're going to have a welcome to Vegas party, including open bar, hanging out with us and John Dorenbos, and then his private magic show Saturday night, an unbelievable game day tailgate party, and then the game itself. You don't want to miss it. Go now. Go to phillysportstrips.com. That's phillysportstrips.com. I want to see you in Vegas.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. We appreciate you being a part of our program every day. Tell your family, tell your friends. Listening on the app and streaming us all day long. It's not a program. I love that commercial. Remember, it's not a program.
Those are great.
It's a TV show. I love that, those commercials.
They are good.
Some things happen in our YouTube chat room that make my jaw drop. Today it is Vincent.
What do you say, Vincent?
Vincent, who said that his wife and him decided when they got married that they were going to have no kids and they were not going to be house poor. Okay? Vincent then was telling people about how he has a dog sitter. How he has for their two dogs. Pat, did you look at the screen? Do not look at the screen.
I never do.
How much does Vincent pay a week to have his two dogs dog set?
If we're talking full time, like 9 to 5 type.
Oh. I guess, I don't know.
Yeah.
400.
Okay, he says 400.
It's a pretty good guess. I would say 450.
Who's Vincent?
It's one of our YouTubers.
He's a YouTuber, Bob. Get with it.
That's the question you ask.
You listen to the press
as if it matters.
Damn it, Bob.
Four oh five. You're gonna.
What was the highest?
451.
I'll go 399.
Oh no, you lose.
Yeah, that's the dumbest bet you could make. Do you even watch Prices Right?
Bob's thinking of more shaky.
375.
No, then you're over.
Oh, that's
yeah.
You're over, so you lose. He pays $1,000 a week.
Ah,
I call BS.
He says $1,000 a week to have dog sitters. Now listen to this.
What?
So that means he spends $52,000 a year for dog sitters, but he doesn't want to be house poor.
That's a $4,000 mortgage.
That is the
That's a million dollar house.
That is the maybe dumbest thing I've ever heard. I'm just saying, it's just a, guess what? And I love dogs. I love dogs. I just paid a 10-day boarding bill for Nikki Foles that was $418.
No way!
That's pretty good.
Who's paying all this money? Mopar?
No, what? This is one.
Are
of
you
our,
here? God, this is dude, one of where our are listeners. You?
Are you tripping?
Because Mopar wouldn't do this.
Mopar wouldn't do this. He's not where Mopar people is. What you're saying?
Are you
Mopar
cheesing
people?
Over there?
But I'm telling you,
he's beezing.
That's 50. Let's say the 4 week. Let's say 3 weeks you're not working. That's $49,000 a year.
That's insane.
To but you don't want to dogs? Be house poor.
You could get a $900,000 house with that mortgage payment.
You could have a great house and take care of your dogs.
Something tells me if you're affording that, you do have a great house.
Oh, my God.
You can afford 52 grand a year.
He's getting blasted. People are just questioning him about it, and I'm just throwing into the question.
Does he mean $1,000 a month?
Oh, wait a minute now. He goes, wait a minute. He says it's dog sitting only when he goes on vacation. That's different. But wait a minute.
Still $1,000 a
week? 10 days, and Nikki Foles was $418.
Is this Vincent Pellegrini?
It is. Why?
Oh, he's got some cash. Isn't
yeah, because
he's going he's on beers.
Guy, he's the guy who won beers with Bob.
So he's got the cash.
I guess.
So Vincent, I mean, this is a pretty good deal.
We can talk to him about it,
so
and then he also...
We'll break it down on the beer tour.
That makes total sense, then.
You can talk to him about it because he's going to a baseball game with
you.
And
that's good. If it's only when you're on vacation, then that makes... That's okay. Two dogs and they come and sit at your house, so that's more money than if you bring them to a boarder.
Sure.
So bark and board
yeah.
is where Nikki Foles goes.
My mom used to use a girl named Megan. She's lovely, and she would stay at the house.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Hey, Beers with Bob.
Yeah, let the big dog hunt.
Beers with Bob is tonight, though.
It is tonight.
Is it going to be like commiserating over the Sixer season? Maybe there will be multiple Beers with Bob tonight?
Yeah, but no commiserating. Yeah, okay. It'll be fun. We'll look at the rest of the NBA playoffs, look at some baseball bets. Chunas always has a lot of fun parlays that we go
with. Eastern Conference Finals game one night.
I'm not watching.
Honor Australia Open play basketball
again. I'm not watching.
Again.
I have no interest.
Oh, I'm watching, yeah.
Oh, I'm not. And I watched Western. I'll watch Phillies. No, they played this afternoon.
Too, but they play 1 o'clock today.
Right, oh, that's cool.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. You can't watch Atlanta play tonight?
I don't want to watch it. It's going to sicken my stomach.
It's going to make me sick.
It's going to sicken my stomach.
I'll tune in maybe in the second half.
All right. Here's leaving me, and I want Coach Bob to go under the hood here and tell me about this. Chris Middleton and Kevin Love have joined the Team USA roster for the Olympics. Chris Middleton and Kevin Love. I'm shocked Kevin Love is one of those spots. Here's the other members that are committed to the team. Bam Adebayo, James Harden and Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, Bradley Beal, Jason Tatum, Devin Booker, and Dame Lillard. Okay, so there is one spot left on the team. Paul George could take it. Kawhi Leonard could take it. It sounds like a great team on paper. Star quality, names, everything like that. But is it a good team?
Yeah, it's good
do
enough.
Do these places all fit? Do the dominant game, there's dominant game, and I'm glad Devin Booker's on the team, by the way.
Yeah.
Feeling very good about that. But is this a good setup of a roster?
Look, with this talent and who you're facing internationally, does it really matter?
That's what I'm wondering.
Look, we have had years in the past where, like, they have so much talent. How did they lose a game? And sometimes
this team better not lose, right?
The international teams will have played together for a long time leading up to the Olympics. You give me these 12 guys. You give anybody these 12 guys. Yeah,
it's an amazing roster.
All right. Yeah, you're fine.
On paper, I'm looking at it, but I'm saying, is everything fit?
Yeah, it's fine.
So it doesn't matter. It's fine.
Nah, really not. Look, you put
and Pops is doing this, right?
Yes.
And Jay's an assistant?
Jay Wright is an assistant, too. And I think Jim Boeheim might be one of the assistants also. But
oh, he's a charmer.
You got to teach a little defense.
And then again, that's a personal experience. He's a charmer.
You put it together. Look, you could take the Brooklyn Nets, say, a team that you threw three stars together on. I think they could probably win you a gold medal. So, yeah, you put all these guys together. They know how to play. Will they have exactly, you know, the good chemistry that you want? No, but their talent will win out.
There you go. So, all right, we get to, in the linchpin, Jamie thinks he may have been duped.
This is the linchpin.
Yeah, it's not a good feeling, all the stuff that came out yesterday, because I didn't necessarily discredit any of it because I haven't seen the results to back it up. Or to discredit the reports yesterday that Ben Simmons might not work as hard as we all thought. And look, I've heard things. I remember, you know, his rookie year, his second year, after a West Coast trip, he was... But again, it was posted on Instagram. So
he's working hard maybe, on Instagram.
Yeah, maybe consider the painter in this situation. You know, 2 a.m. getting in the training facility back from a trip to work on stuff. L.A. in the summer, you think he's working, but again, we're kind of just judging this on some pickup games and some Instagram videos. If it turns out that Ben Simmons, in fact, isn't working as hard as I had once heard or believed, then this is, like, honestly one of the bigger cons I can ever remember from an athlete.
I have no idea why you have to... The person who tells you how hard they're working?
Yeah.
The person who has to show you how hard they're working? To me, tells me there's something up.
You just
work hard.
Yeah.
Just work hard. Let other people say how hard you work.
Sure. Like Doc Rivers said, Tyrese Maxey is the first in, first out, last to leave.
Hardest worker on the team. That's the guy. Let someone else say that about you. Don't be the one to try to create a narrative that you are.
If this ends up being true, and I don't know how it'll be proven to be true, other than just these nameless reports, I feel like I've been duped.
and I feel like I've been lied to as a fan of the team and a fan of Ben Simmons. It's concerning. You know, Bob and I were just walking down the hall, and I proposed a question to him that was kind of nonsensical, and there's no way to answer it. But I said, if the money was the same, do you think Ben Simmons would rather be a professional video game player or a professional NBA basketball player?
Video game player.
That's kind of my answer, too.
Video game player.
And that's troubling.
He talks in interviews about his obsession with it.
Yeah.
And he never talks about his obsession with basketball.
I know.
He never does.
Well, I said to Jamie, what basketball player wouldn't do gaming instead of playing basketball?
And I said,
he said a guy that loves basketball.
Michael Jordan, LeBron James.
Yeah. Yeah, the greatests wouldn't, because that was what drove them.
I think the majority of guys in the NBA would choose basketball.
Yeah, you have to, you know, you have to wonder about his love of the game. It's going to be something that's brought up.
And just think about how awful this conversation is. We just asked if he would rather be a, and we don't know. We'll never know. But
well, no, I've heard him. I've heard him sing the praises of how video games is his.
The fact that we can't shoot it down is concerning.
Well, I think it's his escape.
Sure.
I also think there's a chance that he's probably burnt out. I mean, he's.
How could you be burnt out at 24?
Because he has been working towards this his entire life to get to this point. And then you get to the pinnacle and it's not everything you thought it was going to be. It's not as glamorous. You're struggling in ways you never thought you were going to. You're having a mental problem, scoring, and you're scared of the rim. I mean, I do think he's in the gym. I do think he's working hard. I think he has trouble translating his work into actual production when it matters.
That's what I used to think, too.
That's what I've said all along. I said it before we went on vacation. I don't want to hear about Ben Simmons working hard if the work doesn't translate to the game. It doesn't matter if it, well, he's working on his shot. I've seen it on Instagram. I don't give a damn. If it doesn't translate to a game, what the hell's the work for? There's no point to it.
You're exactly right. We talk about, I told you, there's two mountains that need to be climbed. We all said there was one mountain, and that was he's got to shoot better from 15, 18. He's got to shoot three-pointers. No, he has to want to shoot. That's your first mountain to climb. He has to want to shoot. Right now, he doesn't want to shoot. And I'm not saying right now, meaning these past few games. All season long, he really didn't want to shoot.
No, clearly. I read the Yaron Weitzman piece on Fox Sports about
him. Oh, you did read it?
Yeah. And when Brett Brown called him out after the three-pointer made against the Guangzhou Long Lions, you like that? You like I busted out the Guangzhou? He made that three-pointer, and Brett said, after that, I want him to attempt at least one a game. He didn't attempt one for like another 29 games or something.
Yeah, and you know when he did attempt it? I'm sorry. You know when he did attempt
it? When the shot clock was expiring.
When they were up by about 25.
When they got back from the bubble and the Jackie McMullen story came out.
Yeah.
And Brett Brown said in the story, and Joel Embiid also said it, he's got to shoot. I ask him all the time to shoot, whatever. He comes back first game and shoots and then doesn't do it again.
Yeah.
It's very much a mind
this
game with him, it appears.
It's all mental. Yeah. I mean, it's
mental. But it might be the work, too. Like, it might be mental because he's not getting any better at it because he's not working it. I find it hard to believe. 2 years ago, he got up to 70% in the playoffs when he was working with his old shooting coach that Brett Brown arranged. And that was like, all right, he's taking the steps. He's obviously putting in the work. Now it's like I have to question if the work's even being put in, because what NBA player can improve at the most simple thing in the world?
Doc Rivers has said Tyrese Maxey's the hardest working player on the team.
Yeah.
I do not know this because I do not follow a lot of athletes on social media. Is Tyrese Maxey constantly putting in the work here at the gym, staying late? Look at me. Look at me work. I don't believe so. I haven't heard that.
Yeah. No, I haven't heard it either.
And for Doc to call that out and say the hardest worker on the team is Tyrese Maxey, I believe that was veiled. A veiled
maybe
challenge to the veterans to say a rookie came in here and outworked all of your backside.
Yeah.
It's a little nudge.
I really hope we weren't all duped here, because I honestly did believe, and still might, that he's putting in the work. Because that's the thing.
Well, the thing is,
that should make every Sixers fan angry.
You can put in work and not put in good work.
or not.
Sure, and that's what Doc said.
You can put in time and not put in good work.
Well, like, there was,
it's not translated.
There was a clip of him and Bob and Devon Sala when they were down there of him, you know, warming up before game seven, and he's doing these one-footed fadeaways from like 15 feet out. And frankly, he airballed a couple of them. And you're going, dude, why are you working at that right now?
Right.
You're not going to do it in a game.
Hey, Coach took a challenge and he brought it on. Union head coach Jim Curtin will join us in the next hour.
Jim's probably with us in the Sixers dumps, too.
What is it, the longest tenured Philadelphia coach? And the Union played the Columbus Crew tonight at 7:30 at home, and it is the first full crowd.
Yeah.
So the full crowd
there. We got to get you over there. You haven't
I can't
there
wait.
Yet.
Very excited.
All right, we have to look at their schedule and figure out the night when we're
yes, we do.
They're playing Columbus tonight.
I can't go tonight.
I just said.
Oh. Beers well, I'm saying, he said, look at the schedule. I said,
well, guess what, too?
I was
like,
it was a smacked ass response.
There
yeah,
you
I
go.
You.
That would be good. So good luck to them, and we'll have Coach will join us. And now a little bit of research by our own Eric Camille. It's Coach's birthday.
Today's Coach's birthday?
No, Coach Curtin.
Oh. I was going to say, did we just get him a cake?
It's Coach Curtin's birthday today.
Jimmy, happy birthday.
So there we go. Well, you can tell him in person when he comes on. Here's one, though, that did question is yesterday is Daryl Morey talking to the media. Doc Rivers skated totally. There's no fingerprints at the crime scene by Doc Rivers if you listen to Daryl Morey. Doc Rivers' fingerprints are not on the collapse of this team. They dust. They can't find, because there didn't seem to be any blame put towards the coach.
No.
Or questioning of the coach.
No, and it seems like a lot of times when Daryl Morey speaks, it's Doc and I. We took this job. And they did. It seems apparent that
collaborative
the two of them,
effort, right.
Yeah, two of them talked to each other. What about Philly? Okay, let's do it. And they did it. And, you know, so maybe you got a 2-for-1 deal and the two doesn't want to talk about the one.
Do you believe Doc, he is a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
He is a practice guy. But I don't know if there's any reason to believe that he can fix Simmons. I wonder because I don't know. And also fix the other problems this team has.
Yeah. So here's the thing that I was thinking of last night. And I hear all the talk about getting rid of Simmons and doing we talked yesterday about would it be a good business move. Probably not right now.
No, he's as low.
They're selling at a bad
time. So your obvious thing, and you have to think out of the box here. The obvious thing is, all right, you have to find a way to improve Simmons.
But caveat, it's only the right time to do it if Joel Embiid wants him gone.
Well, you can't
go into another season with Joel if before we dive into your main point,
right.
Like if Joel wants him gone, it's over. It's got to end. You got to pull the Band-Aid off.
Okay, let's say that's not the case.
Yeah,
just for argument's sake, and say that you have to get Ben Simmons better because you have to. And maybe that's your argument. All right, let's go back. That's your argument to Joel. Look, we can't get pennies on the dollar, so we need to make him better first before we look for trade. And if he gets better, maybe this whole thing gets better. Or he gets better and we can get you what you're looking for. But whatever it may be. You brought in Doc Rivers. Ben Simmons didn't improve over the last 4 years. I'm blatantly aware of that. And it was put on the head coach mostly. And probably rightfully so. So they got rid of the head coach. Now you bring in Doc Rivers with the assumption he can make him better. I think he helped a lot in making Joel Embiid better this year. I really do. I think some of the things he implemented did. Now the concentration has to go to Ben Simmons. Business-wise and for this team, you got to get him better because you really can't get rid of him right now. Do you think it's fair? It's an honest question out there to everyone. Do you think it's fair that you'd say to Doc Rivers, your sole objective this summer is to get Ben Simmons better, and here we're going to let you work with him because the main complaint in years past was that coaching staff wasn't getting it done. This coaching staff, here you go. You got to get Ben better. So therefore, you're giving Ben one more year.
And you're also putting Doc on the clock.
Well, yeah. Look at the coaching staff they brought in. How can you not get one guy better?
It's star-studded.
Yeah.
But this coaching, nobody.
It has to be one of the highest-paid coaching staffs in the NBA.
It is. I believe it's the highest. But nobody can change Ben except Ben. Like, good point. I can't put this on coaches if he just refuses to do it. Like, Doc can be in the gym with them every day doing 1,000 12-foot pull-ups or 1,000 floaters in the lane to improve, you know, a lob game with Joel Embiid, whatever it is. If he doesn't execute on it, nobody can change that. That's entirely on Ben's shoulders.
By the way, a gentleman here sharing with me some information. He says, John, it seems ridiculous that you guys were talking about, does he love basketball or does he love his esports more?
Sure.
He says, did you know he is the most leveraged NBA player, active player in the esports industry?
Oh, very much. He's part of FaZe Clan, F-A-Z-E.
That he is the most leveraged guy financially of any player in the NBA in the esports industry. He says, I could pull up 3-4 interviews with you where he talks about it being his passion.
Oh, yeah. 100%. I didn't say that lightly.
He says the word passion being attached to it, that it's his passion. And again, I'm not going to criticize a guy for his side hustle.
Sure, no.
As long as your hustle
isn't affected by it.
Correct.
Yeah.
As long as your hustle is successful. I don't want you, like, if you got a side hustle, is that, look, I want to be a college professor. I did not come back to Philadelphia and say, oh, I'm coming to the Fanatic. Oh, and now I'm going to be a college professor right now. Because that would be a side hustle that's not involved with the hustle. Make sure the hustle's working well and then worry about the side hustle. And to me, as this gentleman points out, by the way, this guy's very leveraged. This, not Ben. I'm talking about this gentleman sharing this information with me. This guy knows some money and manages money. He says he is the most leveraged player. And he goes, and again, admire the side hustle. But when the hustle isn't working, you've got to ask questions about where are your decisions? He says, I can give you links here that Ben will talk about playing for 6-8 hours at a time.
Yeah. Which I understand isn't uncommon. We did this on a show.
For a hardcore gamer, that could be average.
That could be. Yeah. You could maybe do that. And again, everybody gets their own time.
Sure.
To decide what they want to do with their own time.
Yeah. But gun to my head, I'd say he's more passionate about video games than he is basketball.
Guess what? If this radio show was failing and I was spending 6-8 hours a day playing video games, then that is on my backside.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
And the key in all this is, you know, to Bob's point, Joel, we got to fix Ben. Okay, man, I might not have a long prime here. You're telling me to be more patient?
Yeah, it looked that way.
Really?
In the final hour of the show today, I've never heard of this before, a star that was absolutely owned by one of their arch rivals in this way. We'll get to that, plus more of you with us at 610-632-0975. It's the John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic. I drove by your house the other night. I wasn't stalking you. I just was driving down the street, and I noticed your house. It looks really awful. Those windows look terrible. And do you realize the neighbor down the street that got the new windows, didn't you like how it makes their house look cleaner, newer, fresher? Well, Window Nation knows that it does. And Window Nation has a spectacular deal for you right now so you can look like the neighbor's house. Buy two windows, get two free. Plus, no money down, no payments, no interest for 24 months. So you're worrying about this in the summer of 2023, paying for what's going to improve your home this summer. You want to replace all the windows in your home? Entire house of windows? You're going to get a vacation voucher too. A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, so you can trust them. Over 1 million windows installed. They are pros. They understand it. 866-90-NATION is how you reach them. But I want you to do a little window shopping online today at windownation.com. This is a company that is out there ready to help you now. Save the cool in your house in the summer and put the heat in the winter and keep it inside. Lower those heating bills. Call 866-90-NATION. Go to windownation.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us, the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. And the 9 o'clock hour is brought to you by The Bagster. It's a dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to Bagster.com. Bob is bebopping around here.
Trying to get Egan to join in, but he's having none of it today.
He can't force it.
Okay, Egan, it's got to get...
It's got to come
at
actually.
What point does the funeral end for you?
I don't know if it's a funeral.
It is. It seems like it.
What did you label it yesterday?
Your body language, your English is...
Depression?
Come on, we got to get you out of this.
I'm sorry, but Get Low by Lil Jon is not going to be...
Lil Jon's not going
to... No. To the windows, to the wall.
How about if I give you a picture of me and Lil Jon? Would that make you smile? How about a picture? Would you like that? Like
I
don't have a grill.
I've never
like
wanted
that.
To work on another show more than right now.
Well, it could be arranged. It can most certainly
back to AAA.
It can most certainly be arranged if you want. Eli Manning is having his number 10 retired by the Giants. Has there ever been another player in the history of this city and arch rivals who had such a prestigious career that their number would be retired, but they were absolutely owned by Philadelphia? I thought about it yesterday that Eli is back there. He is a renowned champion in New York for two great postseason runs. I think a postseason runs that without them, his career would never be Hall of Fame, would never be retired jersey. But Eli is going to be renowned. He's a two-time champion. You can't take that away from him. But I ask all of you guys, can you think of another athlete that had their jersey retired by an arch rival team that the city of Philadelphia, that as a fan base, we're like, we owned that guy. We absolutely owned him. I can't think of one. That I was racking my brain yesterday going, who could it be? Like that they're so good that their jersey's retired. But when they played Philadelphia, we just kicked their backsides consistently.
Yeah, the only thing that came to mind was Therrien and Yager, but even then Yager had the team success and probably had individual success. It's a great question. I don't have an answer after racking my brain here for about a couple minutes. Nothing comes to mind.
One popped into my mind, and although he won a couple of Super Bowls, I just don't remember him being an Eagles killer, was Troy Aikman. I mean, I guess he managed game. He was probably typical.
He beat the Eagles in the playoffs.
I mean, I do remember like a 10-sack game the Eagles had against him.
Was that his rookie year?
I think it was his rookie year.
1-15 year.
Yeah. I couldn't really come up with one either. I remember a Hall of Famer being totally owned, and this is going way back, but you remember Dave Parker for the Pittsburgh Pirates?
The Cobra, right?
Yeah. This guy was a Hall of Famer, like a wicked hitter.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He could not hit Steve Carlton. It was embarrassingly funny how Steve Carlton would get in with a slider 10 times out of 10.
How about Barry Bonds getting owned by Ricky Bowe?
Okay, but that's
an individual thing.
No. I'm talking about a guy.
I got nothing.
Eli Manning's career, Pat. The Eagles owned Eli Manning.
Yeah, me and Jamie were talking about this, Sunday?
Yeah, I didn't have him on my hate list. Him and Romo, I didn't have on, it was inspired
because
by
success against them.
Because we owned them.
Yeah, I had him on mine just because of the fact of somehow he managed to get two Super Bowls, and that irked me. It wasn't necessarily I found him in... frustrating because he was so good. I found him frustrating because he was so mediocre.
But we got sweet memes from him, too.
No,
like the Eli face and the Coughlin face. Those were great.
Bitter beer face Eli.
It's still bearing fruit. The one name I could think of was David Wright, Mr. Met.
Yeah, that's not a bad one.
I mean, he was supposed to be the leader of the Mets, and his teams just continued to get owned by the Phillies. It was cute.
That's pretty good.
That might be the best one.
Here's one. Dan Baxter tweets it in. Every Brett Favre memory I have against the Eagles, they owned him.
Yeah, they did.
That's not a bad one.
I was thinking more rivals, though.
But
it's like arch rivals.
Yeah, if we're not.
It was with. I mean, when you think of Brett Favre's
career, threw one of the worst passes I've ever seen in my life to Brian Dawkins.
And how about the next year when he played the Eli Mannings?
Yeah.
He did the same.
And the first game I went to in my life was the 10-9 Eagles win at the Vet with my father, and I'm pretty sure Favre was the quarterback.
Was that the first game of the year?
It might have been. I feel like it was warm.
It was like a September game. It was really warm. It was really, really hot.
This is a shirtless fat guy next to me.
How about this? For some reason, my crazy memory, when I think of that Green Bay game, I think of Princess Diana's funeral.
Yeah.
So I got to check the date. I believe it was either, I think it was like the day after Princess Diana's funeral.
Well, it might be the first game because she died in August because I remember it was my son's birthday party.
I remember it was really hot, like a really hot game. We're going to do some research on that one. I think that's when.
That's a good question. I was trying to go back to some.
I couldn't even think of one. I couldn't think of anybody. I mean, Eli Manning is, he's loved up there. He's beloved. And the city of Philadelphia owned him.
Yeah.
Like they owned him.
It was driving me crazy last night. I forgot about it. Now it's driving me crazy again.
It didn't matter if it was the game was in New Jersey or whether it was in Philly.
No.
Eli never scared. And Eli could put up numbers in a game for three quarters. And then there would be, it's like, wait for it.
Right.
The Eli moment's coming.
He was so bad against the Eagles for so many years that in the year they won the Super Bowl and they got the 62-yard field goal, that game they changed it up and did something with Eli Manning that they'd never done against the Eagles before, and they got rid of the ball within like 2 seconds on every pass that he threw. And they almost, and he had great numbers that day, and they almost wound up winning except for a 62-yard
field goal. John, you got the memory of an elephant. Princess Diana passed on August 31st, 1997. The Eagles-Packers game was September 7th,
19th. Yeah, but I think her funeral was September 6th. Yeah. I think her funeral
was the next...
Come on, Jamie,
when was her funeral?
I think her funeral was the day before.
Yeah, it is, September 6th, 1997.
Because that's the day that this is going to be real popular. That's the number one thing where you say to yourself, do you believe that there's messages from God?
Mm-hmm.
I believe when Princess Diana and her funeral came, do you know who else was buried, like, pretty much the same day, the same week.
Probably a lot.
Died the exact same, like the same week, and was buried the same week.
No.
Mother Teresa.
Oh.
And while the world celebrated Princess Diana's death with Elton John songs and world dignitaries and everybody coming, Mother Teresa was carried in a wood box by street people, carrying her through the streets to her burial.
Probably what she would have wanted.
And I said to myself,
she was an underrated person.
But I said to myself at that point.
Properly rated?
But I said at that point, while the world was desperately just enthralled with all Diana, I said to myself, God's watching this one.
Yeah.
Well, he's watching this
one.
The
royal family's all glitz and glamour saying, and fakeness.
And, maybe one of the greatest women who ever walked the face of the planet got carried through the streets in a box. By people she didn't even know. And
she's on Mount Rushmore.
Of what? Good people?
Did you do Mount Rushmore when I was gone?
No, we did worse. We did Shake.
Okay, I've not gone back. By the way, I've had a bunch of people email me going, have you gone back and looked at Thursdays? By the way, you have people trying to rat you out.
Oh, boy.
Like, they're like, you know, last Thursday they did something that would have driven you crazy.
What was that?
Tuesday, I don't know. They're like saying, I'm not going back. I was on vacation.
No, Coach had a pole up his butt all week. Don't worry. We stayed on track.
Hey, whether it's next day delivery or getting involved in your local communities, Napa goes above and beyond to serve you because their motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. And I want to congratulate Bill Affleck.
Affleck?
Bill Affleck. He was the winner today. He heard the Fanatic Fudgy Wudgy Man. He heard the sounder. He was the 10th caller. He wins a $50 gift card, good for a one-day juice cleanse from squeeze.com. And he's in the running to win a week at the Fanatic Beach House. That Fanatic Beach House, presented by squeeze.com, the best juice cleanse on the market. You can order online and get same-day delivery at squeeze.com. And Coach does not need squeeze.com today.
No, he's fully squeezed.
He's been squeezing since he got to work today.
I guess he got that pole out of his butt.
Well, whatever it is, could whatever
be the problem.
Out of there,
he learned. What the hell is going on?
Have you ever been polled?
By the way, Charles is a chef. Charles is a chef, listens to the show, Coach, and he said 5-day chili in a refrigerator, whoever told you 5 days is safe to eat is dumb. It should not even, he doesn't even agree with the 3-day. He said chili should not be, not, it is not a 5 day in the fridge.
Toughen those stomachs up. Get some cornbread in there. You'll be fine.
He says it's not a five day. He says it's not a 5 day in the fridge. And he says not every food is the, let me get an exact wording from him because he is the chef. Not every food is prepared the same, seasoned the same, or stays the same under refrigerated circumstances.
Well, now you're getting into the science of it.
He says don't do it. Don't do it. And part of it, were there beans in it?
No beans.
There were no beans.
No beans?
No, it was...
Beans.
Yeah, it was keto
beans?
Chili.
Good for your heart.
Yeah.
By the way, the Chucky checks in with us on text and says Michael Irvin.
It's not bad. My memory is he didn't kill the Eagles.
Yeah. He's the same thing as Aikman, kind of.
Emmitt Smith did. Right. I feel like they pound and grounded
and
the Eagles.
So did tight end
Novacek.
Jay Novacek. So did the running back who is the broadcaster now, the halfback.
Marion Barber.
No,
Johnson. Moose Johnson.
Moose.
He married a local girl. He's a good guy.
He crushed them.
Tony Romo is one.
He married a local girl?
Tony Romo is
a good guy.
They dominated Tony Romo. A local girl. And he's going to end up getting his number retired by the Cowboys.
I mean, it is.
I never was scared of Tony Romo.
I never was scared. That one of my favorite ever Eagles moments was that crazy Sunday when they needed four things to happen in the early games, and they all happened.
One of them being Jamarcus Russell needed to win a football game.
Raiders beat Tampa Bay in Tampa.
Yep.
To knock Tampa out of contention, and then the Eagles kick off against Dallas. What was that, like 44-7?
I think it was 41-14.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Something sticking in my head, 44-7. Would you please check? It's just to see the memory thing. It's sticking in my head.
It was Eagles Cowboys when?
Eagles Cowboys
2008.
It was after the Phillies won the World Series.
They lost to Arizona. Jamie was at that game.
December 28th, 2008. 44-6.
I was off by a point.
Yeah.
44-6.
Was that a Bonio missed extra point?
Bonio.
They went for two because they were down so much early.
Oh, that makes sense.
See, there you go. Jim Curtin, the union head coach, will be joining us coming up. Remember, the Fanatic Beach House, it's there for you. You want to get down to the beach this summer? I know a lot of people, and we talked about it off the air yesterday. The price of beach houses, holy God.
Yeah, this is a great prize.
My gosh. The amount I paid for 8 nights at a Florida resort, you couldn't get a beach house.
No.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's absolutely insanity. But, hey, the Union is home tonight, and they're taking on the Columbus Crew.
Screw them, Columbus.
Well, I agree. Union head coach Jim Curtin joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline, where every day in business is a big day. Let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next. And I understand, Coach, we have to first say happy birthday to you. So
happy birthday, Jimmy.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Good to be on, and yeah, hopefully we can get a win on my birthday.
How are you feeling about where you guys are right now, and do you feel differently about your club than you maybe felt like 6 weeks ago?
I like where we're at right now. We've proven we can beat the top teams in our league. We've had a good run in a separate competition, which is the Champions League, which is all the best teams in the league. So I have a great group of players and a great staff that I owe a new contract too, which just recently happened. So again, we now have an opportunity against the defending champs tonight, and for the first time in over 600 days, we have the possibility of a full house tonight, and I know it will be packed, and Subaru Park will be as loud as it's ever been. I'm excited.
Jim, you brought up the separate schedules that you do have going on. How do you handle that? Is it just, you go along as normal and you practice every game like you would, or is there a little bit of separation there?
Yeah, it's kind of the gift and the curse of the success of last season. So we have to play in the Champions League, which is a great honor. And we get to represent our club, but we play in Costa Rica. We have to go to Mexico later to play against all the best teams in our continent, which is a real honor. For those that don't know, if we win this, we only have to win two more games here. And if we do that, we actually wind up playing Chelsea. So that'll be a real test. You play all the best teams in the world at that point. So it's a big opportunity for us, but it is. Made the schedule a little more demanding and busy. The hardest thing is the travel when you're going to different countries and the different things that presents now with COVID and getting guys in and out of the country and visa. It's complicated and a lot of work has gone into it for our club. But
again, this is where you want to be playing. You want to test yourself against the best, and we're excited. We've made this step forward.
Coach, you're breaking up on us. We're going to put you on hold and see if we can get this, see if we get that line fixed for you there. As Coach Curtin, we've got, by the way, a four-pack of tickets for tonight's game to give away, courtesy of the Philadelphia Union. In fact, the how about the fourth caller?
All right.
Fourth caller. At
four, makes sense.
610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Connor will present the fourth caller with a four-pack of tickets to tonight's game. We're going to try it again here. Coach Curtin on the line with us now. As, Coach, you were warbling on us a little bit there. The challenge of doing the dual schedules like that, is that about promoting the sport? Because does it really serve your league to have some of its best teams sort of distracted during the course of the season?
It does. It really does. It grows the game in our country. And for those that maybe don't understand fully, I'm not sure where I got cut off, but if we do beat this team in from Mexico, who's their champion, we move on to play a club like Chelsea in the Club World Championship. So it puts a real target on our league, and it really promotes the game. So it's a good thing, and it gives our players opportunities to play in really high-pressure games in different countries. So it's a real, real positive, but it does make it a little more demanding on the schedule for sure.
Yeah, Jim, I know a real reason for your success down there with the Union is the Union Academy and tap it into the local. Talk about the sense of pride you guys see when you see a Brendan Aaronson get some U.S. men's national team run and the kids coming up through the system. You know, Christian Pulisic is one of the best players in the world, and he's from not far away. This is a great area for soccer, and you guys have done a great job tapping into that. Talk about that, what that is like for you as somebody that coached this kid, to see him on the world's big stage.
It gives a ton of pride. Philadelphia and our area is very parochial. We love our own. So, you know, the Philadelphia Union has been at the forefront, has the number one rated academy in our country, which is a real honor. You talked about players like Brendan Aarons and Mark McKenzie, who are actually both going to be at the game tonight for what that's worth. They're in their off seasons right now. And you know, like you said, Pulisic is from right up the street in Hershey. So, you know, it's a hotbed of talent here in the Philadelphia and Pennsylvania area. And for those that don't know, when we develop these players here, they're our property. We don't have to draft them. We don't have to use money to buy them. We have their rights. So it's a real valuable weapon in a salary cap league where these guys, A, don't hit your salary cap. They're your own. They're in your system the whole way through. Imagine if all the great Philadelphia basketball players that grew up here were the property of the Sixers. We'd have quite a squad. You know what I mean? So it's unique in our league, but it's a real advantage that we have, and we take real pride in our academy and school that we have here in Philly.
All right, Coach, the go-to birthday cake for you is what?
I know, old school. Those Carvel ice creams.
Hell yeah.
They'll do it, man.
Wait a minute. Good man, Jim. Actually, that's smart.
Is that Fudgy the Whale? Do you get the Fudgy the Whale?
I'm currently in Seattle City, so I know a little bit about the Fudgy Wudgy Man.
Whatever that cookie crumble is, Jim, it's magical and heavenly.
Oh, gosh, there's something to it, and it takes you back to your youth, I think. I think that's the main thing, when you used to think the rich kids got Carvel ice cream cakes. And,
Do you remember your
21st? Those are fun days.
Do you remember your 21st birthday, and is there an embarrassing story to it?
Oh, gosh, again, I'm going back to Seattle. I was in Shenanigans, which is
yes.
Which is a bar I don't think they've fixed since my 21st birthday. I don't think they've changed a bit, and I'll just say it was... It was a quick night.
Hey, Jim, if you do see the Kelsey brothers walking around Seattle, are you going to challenge them to a shotgun contest?
They were here yesterday. Yep. They're up at Bubba Dogs up on 59th Street. So, they're everywhere, man. They can drink some beers, I've heard. Allegedly.
Hey, Coach, congratulations. And happy birthday. And we'll look forward to seeing the Union take care of business tonight.
Thanks so much, and can't wait to see everybody out at Subaru Park tonight. It's going to be a great game against Columbus, and great to have everyone back in the stadium after, gosh, way too long.
There you go. There's Jim Curtin joining
us
here.
See you, Jim.
Comcast Business Hotline, which is awesome. 21st birthday, the bar you were in. Irish Pub, Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah?
The Pen and Pencil.
The Pen and Pencil.
Fitting. So my dad was a member of the Pen and Pencil. My 21st birthday happened on a Friday. My dad worked till 11 o'clock on Fridays, but his own doing, so he could go out for beers afterward and then take the train home. My friend and I, Glenn, went over and met him. He wanted us to come over, and he took me out for my first beer on my 21st birthday.
Very cool. Mine was just
your
a local
first beer. What a load of crap!
I said my first beer legal. On my 21st yeah. birthday. Okay.
I stayed local on our college campus and just did Colonel Brooks, Johnny Kay's, and Ellis Island.
But so you stayed.
But it was nice not to use my fake anymore.
Pat, where'd you go?
Went to Cold Stone Creamery and then the AMC Neshaminy.
Yeah, he didn't. He didn't. Pat wasn't drinking. I had probably. I would imagine I had had less than 50 drinks in my life by my 21st birthday.
I can't say the same.
I was not a drinker at all. I was corrupted by the aforementioned Pam and my other friends.
Oh, who the dirty girls.
Who corrupted me when I was 19 or 20.
I might have had 50 drinks leading up that week to my 21st birthday. So a little different lives than me and you.
A little bit of difference at that time. All right, we got a lot coming up for you still on the show. The top three starters will be in business this weekend. Plus, the Sixers struggles are helping out some others. We'll get to that next. It's the John Kincaid Show, and you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic. And I know your windows aren't any good. I've seen your electric bills. I've seen what you're trying to. You're trying to cool your home right now. You're trying to heat your home in the winter, and you're letting all of that energy out of your house, so it's not energy efficient. Why? Because your windows stink. But Window Nation is going to solve that problem for you right now with a spectacular deal. Let's say your house needed... Let's say you needed 40 windows in your home. Let's say there were 40. You're only going to pay for 20 of them. Buy two, get two. Buy two, get two. Plus, no money down, no payments, no interest until 2023. We're talking about 24 months from now. And if you do the entire house of windows, you get a vacation voucher so you can get away from it all. You might even get it away from it all when the job's getting done. Over 1 million windows installed and that A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. My friends at Window Nation want to transform your home. If you don't believe curb appeal is a big thing, look at the bidding wars that are going on for homes right now. You can improve the value of your home just by improving the windows. And then cost efficiency comes into play. And look, anything you do to raise your curb appeal helps. So do your window shopping online at windownation.com, then call 866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show. Here on 97.5 The Fanatic, we appreciate you finding us, hanging out with us, spending more time with us, streaming us. You stick around for Cuz Radio. You hang out with the Mike Missinelli Show. Devon and the gang at night keep you happy, smiling. Beautiful day for a Phillies game.
It is. Beautiful. It looks day gorgeous for a day now. Game. Yeah, the rain was supposed to break the heat. And it's supposed to be gorgeous the rest of the week, I think. Yeah.
Until the weekend, then the heat comes back in spades.
All right, I'll be down the shortest week.
Oh, you're going to love it then. Look, because the heat is coming back like with a vengeance by the weekend.
Oh, cool.
Like, I think Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
The golf outing you missed on Monday was sweaty.
You said how hot that was.
I didn't mind it.
It wasn't the heat, it was the humidity. Yeah. My God. Yeah. Once you sweat through your hat and shirt by the second hole, it makes for an uncomfortable
like
day.
Like a bitch. Yeah, it's not good.
You don't want swamp ass from your own sweat, you know what I mean?
Well, I'm glad you managed to get that in at 9:32.
Seriously?
He almost got out of a show without saying that.
Yeah.
He almost made it there.
So weird.
Just didn't.
I don't think it's weird. I think this is how people talk.
105 this afternoon, you get a Phillies game. I was noticing the Phillies get the big series with the Mets this weekend. And by the way, Marcus Stroman injured last night.
Oof. Yeah.
Leaves the start.
I like him. Yeah, I like Stroman.
Nice pitcher.
Yeah, he is.
I see like five.
He looks like
five,
he's about
eight,
five. He's very short. Yeah.
He's really short. How does he get that kind of power?
Legs. It's all in the legs and the spider tack.
But he's but he's so, he's small.
Did you see last night, Gerrit Cole? Again, the lowest spin rate on his fastball, breaking ball.
In what years?
Since 2017.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, he still pitched okay.
No. You're going to tell me that a member of the Houston Astros are essentially cheated?
I used to think it was Brent Terry Strome, their pitching coach, but
it was Brent
attack.
Terry Strome telling them about Spider Tack.
Spider Tack, Spider Tack. But the Phillies will get three of their top starters in four games versus the Mets this weekend. And now you'll avoid Marcus Stroman, too. So it is critical that you get out there and beat the Mets this weekend. By the way, you're in a three-way tie for second today.
Four games out, right?
Four games out.
Yeah.
Three-way tie. It's June 22nd. I mean, it's not too early to say, but the fact is you got three teams tied for second place, all under 500. And the Mets were shut out twice in a row by the Braves, who are warming up a little bit. The Nationals have gotten hot. Nationals are red hot.
Kyle Schwarber has been on a tear recently.
Yeah.
He's a guy, like, if you're the Phillies, he was cheap enough that you probably should have kicked the tires.
You could have done it. You absolutely could have done it. Nationals have won 8 of 10 to now. They're pulled even with the Phillies going into today's game. So, but you have three of your top four starters. So you're going to have Nola Eflin and Wheeler going this weekend.
After you get through Vinny today.
And you get a Vinny, and Vinny pitches this weekend too, I guess. So so there you go. So we'll see what this team's about. If you had told me back in the spring though, that the National League East would have one team over 500 on June 23rd, I would have laughed at you. And said, no way. It's not gonna be that bad. It's bad. It's bad.
Yeah, and there's always the degree that they always beat each other up. Usually the Marlins are beating the Phillies up the worst, but, you know, the NL East is a dogfight, for lack of a better term, usually every
Michael
year.
Michael Vick doesn't like you using that term.
What would have surprised you more if we were to say three of the teams are under 500 in the National League East, or that the San Francisco Giants have a pretty comfortable league in the National League West?
I hear you.
Much
I
more,
what you're
much
sense.
More the Giants.
They're three games up on the Dodgers and four and a half up on the Padres.
They are 21 games over 500. Now, I will make the call today and say that I believe that the Giants will be the third-place team in their division. They're only three games up on the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Four and a half up on the Padres. I believe the Giants, at the end of the year, will be a wild card and will be the third-place team in their division. They'll be the second wild card.
I wouldn't say that's a dumb bet by you.
But I am baffled by the excellence of the Giants, and I got to give Gabe Kapler credit.
Sure,
the players are singing his praises, talking about what a positive environment he's fostered.
Do you think players take on the personality of their cities?
Explain.
Meaning, you know, our Giants players, because Gabe, like when you thought of a city that would fit Gabe,
San Fran
would be it, and for his message to be received properly. The players kind of would have to be in that loosey-goosey Cali vibe, San Fran.
If I was to think California or Philadelphia, for a guy who waxes his eyebrows.
Yeah, it's California.
The fake bakes, all those
but
things.
But do you think the players also kind of adapt to their cities? Like Northeastern players, Yankees, Mets, Red Sox, Phillies, are kind of grizzled and D-bags. Out West, I think it's probably a little more.
See, I find the California whole thing. You say D-bags. I find California.
Well,
to be,
baseball players
find,
in general are just D-bags.
I find California to be, and I travel there. I've traveled there often and travel there often. I find California to be the, for lack of a better term, the biggest the out there.
Sure.
I would say that. I think California is by far not even close. No one in contention.
Wow.
Place.
I've always enjoyed my trips out there.
No, I enjoy California.
Yeah, of course.
It. We go often. But I've never seen such preening, such like the
superficial.
The one up, yeah, the one up the neighbors, I've never seen anything like it.
Well, it's a perfect fit out there with whatever's going on in the Giants right now.
It is one thing about adjusting back to life in Philadelphia. Is this city is so uniquely itself. And so many people let's put it this way. As my wife is very excited about, people care so much, like in Atlanta, people care so much about what car do you drive? What school do you send your kid to? what country club do you belong to? What it is, and it is bougie first generation money that obsesses like this. I used to sled on the DuPont estate. People who had FU generational money, billionaires.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you this, the relatives and everything of the DuPont, they didn't conduct themselves like that. Their kids had part-time jobs.
Yeah.
Their kids had jobs. They made their kids in high school go out and get work.
Yeah, I've met some rich people, and I would never know.
And I can tell you where we used to live. I used to call it 90210 because we had a house, and there was a cul-de-sac down beyond us. So maybe there were like nine houses on the street that were beyond us, but it was a cul-de-sac where it ended up at the end. And three different teenagers drove to the same high school. They were all friends. I saw them in the neighborhood all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All friends. All three of them drove in $40,000 cars to the same school, which was 3/4 mile outside of our front gate. And they all drove. And in the morning, there would they be, going up the block. I'm Skinkade.
I had a driver.
You had a driver to school? Who was it?
His name was Fred. He drove the K-bus.
So Fred drove the K-bus.
No, I was that close to school. I'd ride my bike.
There was a company called SEPTA, but they would drive you to school. Yeah.
See, we had Hubba. Hubba was our school bus driver. And Fat Rat.
Fat Rat.
When I was in grade school, there was a bus driver. And the kids
was Fat Rat?
The kids all called him Fat Rat.
I had Mr. Dave.
His name was Gene. But they called him Fat Rat.
You couldn't call him Mean Gene. You had to go Fat Rat.
No, I know. Yeah, right? That was the nickname before. But it was a name that he actually embraced. Like, it was Fat Rat.
Wow.
Hubba. I know this. Hubba lived on Hawthorne Road in Broomall, and he was a great guy. But Hubba and Fat Rat were the two like bus drivers.
That sounds like the radio show that's going to take over for us.
Hubba and Fat Rat.
All right, the John Kincaid show's over. We're introducing Hubba and the Fat Rat.
Hubba and I believe both men would have probably moved on by now to the afterlife. I'm not sure. But Hubba was a really great dude. Fat Rat was a little scary. He could. Hey, in Cooney's Corner, there are two organizations that really aren't happy with the Sixers losing.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
You know, if you have going on right now what the Phillies have going on right now, and Pat described it this morning with Joe Girardi's antics last night as desperation, I don't think you want the fan base checking you out all the time, and you being the sole interest of this city's sports mind. Sorry.
And they are right now.
They are already angry. Sorry, Joe. Yeah, Sixers losing didn't help you at all.
And Joe last night embarrassed himself.
Yeah, that was really, really weird. Yeah, it was weird. And, you know, and him coming out and saying, well, I noticed he was going to his hair too much, and I've known him since 2010, and Scherzer doesn't usually do that. I had to do what's best for my club. No harm intended.
On the first game when you have the option to do this, you do it to Max Scherzer.
Yeah.
A guy who has no character questions about him.
Yeah.
I think it was Bush League.
Scherzer, I didn't realize this. When we were talking about it this morning, he's 36 years old.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that last
time. I thought think young 30s.
Think about how long ago Detroit was for
him. Yeah, no, you're 33. Right.
Detroit, Arizona before that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I can't imagine that Joe Girardi, the Phillies organization, really wants the eyes of the sports city upon them. But guess what? That's what a Sixers loss does.
For the next 5.5 weeks, they do.
That's right. And
sorry, Joe. We're angry and on edge.
Yeah.
So he's
sort of facing a little bit of that.
You're up against a tough crowd right now. We're not happy with our sport. I mean, if you go back to 2016, 2017, we were calling it the Roaring Twenties. We thought everything was going to be great. The Phillies had money. We had a quarterback. We had a transcendent point guard. Now, look at
the future.
Yeah, the goalie of the future.
I'm an idiot.
It's all unraveling.
You know what? It's almost unbelievable when you say that. Like, imagine coming in and doing the. Someday we're going to do this. I'm going to save it. Someday we're going to do it.
It's funny, though. I'll say something that you look at this. We were talking a couple years ago, like the 20s are going to be great.
It's the middle of 2021, and we're already saying
pull it all up. Everything sucks.
Oh my God. So yeah, the Phillies are going to have the eyes of the city upon them now, and I can't imagine they're going to like that.
And I think the Eagles are better equipped to handle it than the Phillies because there's no expectations with the Eagles.
Well, that's where I was going. Also, although if I'm Nick Sirianni, I don't mind kind of laying low. I don't mind being back in the, especially after he had a couple of press conferences where people were like, whoa, who's this nunchuck? You know, like,
who's this nunchuck?
I like that.
Yeah, so I would imagine that the Sixers and the Phillies were both, I mean, I'm sorry, the Eagles and the Phillies were rooting hard for the Sixers.
Yes!
You know, yeah, keep the spotlight on them. Keep going, guys. Keep going.
Take it!
As much as we wanted the Sixers to bleed into the Eagles season, I'll bet you the Eagles did just as much. Just so they could go about their business, not worry about it, stay away from things a little bit, and the Phillies also. But now, sorry, Sixers did it all.
Sorry, Joe.
Yeah,
you're going to be under a microscope here for the next 2 months.
I really think he's going to. Like, this is, it just so happened. And John, you made a great point earlier this year that you really start watching the standings around Memorial Day.
Yes.
With the Sixers season ending middle of June.
Now it starts to really count.
Wow. I mean, now the whole focus goes to the Phillies, and what you've missed hasn't been good.
Apologize. Do your damn job.
He sucks
this season. He sucked last season.
I'm not apologizing.
You did. You said, oh, sorry, Joe.
No, sorry that we're so. You're getting us at our worst. We're at a low point as a fan base.
He's sort of earning it.
Sure. I'm not, taking that out of
you. I'm not going to sit there and blame myself for this.
I got to tell you this.
He sucks.
If Gabe Kapler was the manager of the Phillies and we're doing this radio show and he pulled the crap that Joe Girardi did last
night,
it would be amped up. We may have done 4 hours on it with people just wanting to pile on. Joe Girardi had a pedigree. Joe Girardi had a reputation coming in here. He doesn't resemble his resume.
Joe Girardi doesn't have a clue.
He doesn't resemble his resume in the least. In the what was expected to be and what we've gotten.
We didn't call the references. That's the problem.
Is that it?
We took the resume on face value and didn't call the references.
I thought they weren't calling references anymore. I thought we learned that. Like, references are now being ignored.
They are?
Yeah, supposedly references aren't that
important. Well, I have to update my resume.
Then put me on your resume.
If they're not calling, I'll put you, Cooney, Lynch, Coach.
Put me on your resume, Pat. Be glad to bang the drum for Pat Egan. Pat, someone was asking, did you not take, you really took SEPTA to school?
Yeah.
Okay, so how did you get to school?
First 2 years, I lived right behind Dougherty, so I would just walk.
You'd walk.
And then the next 2 years, I would either take the 57 to Margaret Orthodox and then take the K bus. And then
that must have been
26.
30, 35, 40 minutes in the bus?
Yeah. And then I'd take the 26 bus and then intersect with the K bus.
Jamie, when the butler would... the driver would drive you.
Yeah, Mr. Davey drove a big long yellow bus.
Big long yellow bus.
Yeah, that was my private car.
That's what I was laughing at.
And they picked up all your friends.
Yeah. That's what I was laughing at is that, do you know that, now, Olivia's school does not have buses. So they don't have buses.
Wow, how fancy.
Private school, they don't have buses, you're not allowed. Like, in Georgia, the public schools do not supply any. You know how, like,
do they smell their own farts and sniff their glasses?
No, the kids going to Marple Newtown rode the same buses that the kids going to O'Hara did in Broomall. So if you went to the LaSalle bus I took,
shared it with the Mount girls.
Right, and like you went when you went that way. But down there, the public buses.
How do they get to school?
You have to pay your own kid transportation.
That's absurd.
No, you do.
Hoverboard.
You do. You have to do it. So, but you cannot be seen as a senior with the parents dropping you off.
Oh, my God.
You can't have the
horror.
Oh, my God.
The horror of the parents
buses?
Dropping
that's
off.
That's so pretentious.
From seventh grade on.
That's so pretentious.
It's not pretentious. It's not the school. It's the state.
Well, that's stupid.
They don't allow it.
Georgia's stupid, and you're just confirming it again and again and again.
They do not allow it. So
I never had to worry about my parents dropping me off.
You walked
to drive.
School.
Neither one of my parents drove.
Which I still think is crazy town.
Yeah.
It's a crazy thing.
Yeah, it was different.
To not have that.
It was different.
How did you
sure.
learn to drive?
Taught myself.
But on what? Because if neither parent drove, where
Model
was the
T.
car?
I drove once before I took my license.
You did?
I swear to God. We were.
I'm flinching from the picture.
I remember just my parents had like cousins over to play cards, and I said, "Oh, can I drive Ann home or whatever?" And my cousin Pat said, "Sure, here, go ahead." I drove once, and then I went for my license a few weeks later.
Oh my gosh.
And I passed.
Christina stole her parents' car at 12.
Oh, good for her.
At 12.
Badass. Yeah.
12 years old in Miami.
I respect that. What'd she do, a little joyride?
Why would you respect that?
Sure. Badassery.
Yeah. She was stealing the car.
She's a dirty girl.
It's the Jamaican.
It's a naughty girl, dude.
It's the Jamaican.
Naughty girls.
Yeah. Not dirty girls, Bob.
I like dirty girls better.
No, well, guess what?
I'm keeping it in your pants.
Horny boop.
Let me just warn you. When the mad Latin, when the mad Latin does land in town, do not call her a dirty girl, Bob. Because
I found myself doing you yesterday.
Jamaican woman will cut you. She will cut you.
I like, who doesn't like a fuck?
Anthony Gargano's with us.
I like a dirty fuck girl.
Dirty feet. That's a scary thing.
No, you know what I always thought? The girl walking on the down the shore.
The shoeless girl,
yeah. Right.
On the boardwalk with like 30 feet.
You like the boardwalk is ridiculous.
I got no problem with it.
Really? Does it have
just
to be
like with the bikini bottoms?
Does it have to be
matter
to
me?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
And probably a top.
Now, wait a minute. Is she wearing like a t-shirt with the bikini bottom?
Yeah, you know. It's beach.
But there's no shoes?
I don't care about the dirty feet. It's all right.
No, but that means she's not looking to go into any establishment.
That means she's looking to have to beach it up, man. Have fun.
No, that wasn't what you were going to say. She's looking to have a good time. Is what you're going to
say.
You
know what I'm saying?
You're beach a wordsmith.
She's a beach girl.
So Anthony's getting on
time.
Anthony's doing the Dracar Noir or whatever. He's putting it on. He's getting himself. He's maybe got a chain and he's ready and he's heading up to the
definitely
boardwalk.
A chain guy.
And Anthony is.
I got it with me.
Anthony and his boys are walking on the boardwalk. And they're looking for the girls with no feet, with no shoes on.
Well, you know,
no socks, no shoes, no, not even the flip flop.
When I was a kid, well, yeah, I mean, listen, but you get my point. My point is that
there's
any
a point?
Chick that's going to walk. What's that?
There's a point.
I love this.
No, Anthony and I went to
you
Catholic schools.
Point.
Yeah,
so did I.
Saw a 30-foot girl. We're all right.
Come on now.
Right?
O'Hara did not have the dirty feet girl.
We all went to Catholic school.
We all did.
What does that mean?
I don't even know what we're talking about.
Maybe some of the Fatima girls. I'm not sure. There was a certain point in the O'Hara footprint. So, how you doing? You know what? It's great to see you smiling today. You're smiling. You're laughing. So I feel
because I'm not talking about sports.
Yeah, but I think you've turned a corner. I think you're feeling like you've turned a corner.
Nah.
No?
No. I didn't watch any. I think I might give up sports.
What? What's your show going to be about?
Dirty Feet Girls.
Yeah.
Oh, my
gosh. I might
gosh.
Just roll with the Dirty Feet.
The Mount Rushmore of Dirty Feet Girls.
I'm getting asked here. One of the cousins is asking me, did Coach go through a polo cologne phase? The polo cologne, did you use it?
Me?
Because I said Dracar Noir.
I didn't do that. I was an Armani man.
You were an Armani man.
Sure. And Gucci. My Aunt Cookie.
My God.
Aunt Cookie. I have a cousin Cookie.
Came back. She used to go to, my Aunt Cookie was cool. She would travel. Her and my mother.
Right?
They go to Paris. They go all these, and they come back with cologne from my cousin.
Oh.
So they had the Gucci cologne.
Wow.
The Armani. Yeah, no.
So
that was in the stocking at the
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I haven't worn cologne since I was 17.
That's a nice gift.
Back
I've
in the
never
day,
worn
yeah.
cologne.
You've never worn cologne?
No,
Jenny? Not past 18. Probably for like a 2-year
really,
period.
Never wore cologne.
Nah.
My brother was Sam Malone.
Oh yeah.
If you know my brother
way
Doc,
too much.
Doc, like you knew the women knew Doc was coming to the bar before the bar door opened.
Yeah.
It was like coming in. Oh, Doc was Sam Malone.
Yeah.
Oh,
I haven't worn it since like those days.
My mom would say, "Did you use soap or cologne?"
Right.
Like as he was heading out.
You're always supposed to go like just a little. Spray it
and
in
then
the
walk
air,
through it.
This thing.
No, Doc was
spray
and
walk through it. Right.
Exactly.
No, you don't do that.
You don't want to. You don't want to just do it.
Don't walk through it. Women walk through it. Guys don't walk through it.
Yeah, you don't want to put it in your hands.
Yeah, but guys don't walk.
No, but you don't want to put it in your hands.
I got you.
I thought you said a little spray on the neck.
Somebody hand.
I thought you were in on the stank, out on the funk.
And it's, you know, where it stings, too, Holmes.
There you go. Hey, remember, support life-saving cancer research. Join us and our generous partner, Window Nation. Make a donation to the American Association for Cancer Research today at 975thefanatic.com/AACR because cancer research saves lives. God knows where we're going to end up tomorrow, but we want you here for it. 6 a.m., The John Kincaid Show. Cuz Radio coming your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.